is on.
The three best friends you never knew you had, running through the most viral stories of the day.
The news junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
It's the news junkie for a Wednesday, October 13th, 2021. Lots to get to today, from William Shatner goes to space to a near disaster for the Gabby Petito press conference, and was John Gruden targeted by the NFL? Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Hello, C-Lane.
How we doing?
And hello to all of you. We'll hopefully hear from you on the show today. Join us with your dispatches from the News Junkie app. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store now. And let's start as we always do. Let's put our ears to the ground, our fingers on the pulse, and let's see what's happening in this great big wide world of ours. And we go to the man of the moment, the man who just went to quote-unquote space. Let's see what he says, Mr. William Shatner.
She packed my bags.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Last night, free flight.
I wish you would have done this beforehand.
0 hour. 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high. As a kite by then.
Yeah, you are, buddy. All the way to space for a whopping 3 minutes, my friend. Congratulations.
You just landed.
To William Shatner, those two other people, and apparently somebody named DJ Crispy.
Oh, yeah.
Who also went to space.
The first DJ in space?
I guess so. Maybe.
Sorry, Diddy.
Yeah, DJ Crispy, they said. They're like, he also DJs under the moniker DJ Crispy.
I apologize for my awkward, you know, hello. I was attempting a Shatner impression.
He drags it out. He got away with just taking the word and going, fly real high. Hitting that cigarette, you hear it all. I wonder if he was smoking on the way up, but there he goes. You can see it here, the footage of the capsule. It's on the ground, and I do have something to say about this, okay? Because there's been way too much chatter with no pushback on this, and I'm putting my foot firmly on the ground. This is a 100% totally and completely accurate take. There is no doubt about it. I'm spinning it. I'm doing it.
Wow, off the top.
I'm doing it. These people are not astronauts, okay? I'm tired of hearing the whole astronaut thing. These people who go up in Blue Origin or whatever, they're not astronauts. Blue Origin is a ride. It is not a mission to space. It's a ride, and it does not make you an astronaut.
It would be like calling everybody from first class way back into the bathroom in the back of the plane. Everybody's pilots.
Yeah, you're not pilots. So if you go on a plane, you're not. If you go play paintball for 15 minutes or 3 minutes is the time in space adds up to, you are not a soldier. If you go skydiving, you're not a bird. You know, you are not an astronaut if you go up in Blue Origin.
If you go skydiving, you're a skydiver.
Yeah.
Or not.
But he's a
tourist.
Unless
you're strapped to somebody.
He could be a space tourist, perhaps. But you are not an astronaut. An astronaut is somebody who dedicates their lives to this stuff. And guess what? When you get in Blue Origin, from the start to the end, you don't do anything. The whole thing is automated. You are not an astronaut. It is a ride. That's all it is.
And you hating.
They overblow this stuff too much. When they're like, here is our astronauts. And they show them slow-mo walking, you know, onto the tarmac or whatever.
How about we just, like, change up the word? Like, astronaut, really.
And space traveler. I'll deal with that. That's as far as I will go. But
I was fine calling Wally Funk an astronaut. You know, she went through
extensive astronaut
training.
She knew how to do astronaut stuff, not sit in a chair and get rocketed up into the air. That's not being an astronaut. This kind of stuff should not be tolerated anymore. I can only imagine. This is the perspective through which I'm viewing this. The view of an actual NASA astronaut that worked for decades, that got into space, and then these people pretend.
You missed the last shot, but they only have one SUV with one guy walking towards this thing. There's one.
They're
going to spend way more time waiting to get let out of this little peenhead thing.
And not only
than they are, they ever spent in space.
Not only is this just a ride. And not a mission to space. But Jeff Bezos is such a douche that he goes up, he's like, waves goodbye to the, get on my little, my ride here.
Hope and you don't die.
This is phoniness, everybody. We cannot call these people astronauts. They are not astronauts. They are tourists for 3 minutes in space.
I will just call them richer than all of us.
Yeah, even DJ Crispy apparently got the money, the correct change to get up on that Blue Origin penis rocket and blast himself way out into space. And that's exactly what happened today. What are they saying? Let's see what they're saying right now. Because I do want to hear from William Shatner and see what he says.
Actually, yes. You know, as you mentioned, Chris Boshausen.
This is the Blue Origin feed.
As a DJ, DJ Crispy, and he actually released an album on Friday.
And, of course.
To see what he does with that music.
No, you the don't. You don't care.
Too. Of course, William Shatner, everybody knows him as an actor. He also sings. I think that's one of the most beautiful things about what we're doing at Blue Origin. Again, to more people to go to space. Yes, the scientists. Yes,
did they
the engineers.
Give her notes?
But now the artists.
Yeah, the artist. DJ Crispy went to space. That's how you know it's the real deal.
Just released some music on Friday. Super excited to see what happens, even though he already released it.
Did that not sound to you like a promo for an album?
I think that's a great promotion, though. Think
it's
about
smart.
It. Like,
it's smart, but is he an astronaut? No, he's a DJ. That's what this guy actually is.
First DJ in space.
I am not referring to him. And I can imagine they're going to add it to like their email signatures, like DJ Crispy, astronaut. You're not an astronaut, DJ Crispy. You did do a good job promoting your new album. I didn't know of you before this moment, so
is
good for you on that.
Is the album available exclusively on Amazon Music?
It should be. Just to rope all of the engineering together.
The other thing that really stood out before you got here, Sabrina, we were watching some of the coverage leading up to it, and they were showing the pre-launch interviews they did with the passengers on this vehicle.
Thank you very much.
The riders.
Thank you.
Almost as if they were in the queue, and part of the
ticket
queue
holders.
Line, part of the queue line was an interview. And one guy is talking about this and this and that, and we need to, you know, focus on sustainability. I'm like, if you are getting on this rocket to spend 3 minutes in space for nothing.
Yeah.
You shouldn't even be saying the word sustainability
for a ride.
Also, I cannot find this DJ Crispy anywhere.
Crispy with a K is what I'm guessing, but maybe it's a C. I don't know. Who knows what this guy's doing? But he, somebody had the correct bucks to put him on this flight.
DJ Crispy Cream?
No. Maybe. He's next. He's going to be on the next Blue Origin rocket to go up in space. SunState John on YouTube says, hey, this is history. It's interesting. No doubt about it, which is why we're talking about it.
Is it history? This is the second one.
This is the second historic ride for the Wienership. But
I'm not going to watch any more of these. I really don't care.
You know what? I think it's going to get to that point very soon. Like 3, 4, 5 go, and then you're like, hey.
Well, also, this is the second time that we don't see what's going on inside.
You guys remember?
Why are we doing a long shot? Like, this is beautiful. This is cinematic quality, but you can't get a webcam inside. So that's what people want to see.
I was thinking about that. Do you think there's any chance that they don't want to show us footage when they're up in space, when they're inside, because they want more people to buy the ride?
No.
And then it like kind of gives away what the experience is a little bit
more.
If it was cheaper, but no. I mean, even if I saw it and I really wanted to go, never in my lifetime will I be able to afford that.
No, not yet. Not
and
for
I think
a
it's
long
a bad
time.
Investment for those that are not uber rich.
I think they don't have a live feed inside because they keep putting 80 and 90 year old people in the space.
They don't know how to do it.
And they don't, you know, not that they don't know how to do it. I'm saying if something goes wrong here, they don't want this live stream to turn into a snuff film.
Okay, sure, but that's why you get a space dump button.
You're going to need that.
Problem solved.
Nobody, the world doesn't need to see William Shatner's 90-year-old ass exploding inside this space capsule. That's not something we really need
I'm
to go
so
for.
I'm so high.
Kev says, people already don't care. I wasn't sure what was happening when I saw the space pod on the stream the first thing this morning. Well, yeah, I don't know, man.
I mean, it's cool to watch, but like,
cool.
Okay. You know,
there you
who's
go.
The next one?
And I know William Shatner's so damn full of himself that he's going to come out and he's like, it's great to be an astronaut. I'm now an astronaut. I'm just like Buzz Aldrin. I'm one of the great adventurers in space.
Well, see, you guys were talking just a second ago about how we're going to get tired of these. That's what happened to Apollo 13.
Mm-hmm.
You remember in the movie, at least, because I don't, you know, I was not alive when Apollo 13 actually happened.
Right.
But remember in the movie where, like, they were supposed to do their live on TV interview and none of the stations were covering because they're like, okay, how many times have these guys been to the moon? We've been to the moon. It's no big deal. And then
and that'd be cool.
It became like, a big thing when they're like, oh no, are these guys going to come back or not?
Yeah, they get bored of it.
And still trying to find DJ Crispy.
Lynette Love says, oh, come on, guys. It's new and exciting. It's just starting. And others agreeing with her. It is definitely exciting. It is definitely new. I just will not. I refuse to. And I absolutely stand by the 100% accurate take that these people are not astronauts. Going up on this ride, because that's what it is, it's a ride, does not make somebody an astronaut. We shouldn't water down the term. The astronauts of the United States of America, NASA, have a storied history. They're brave and awesome people.
So you're saying it's offensive.
It's stolen valor. It's stolen valor in the astronaut world to go up on one of these rides and say that, you know, all of a sudden you're a space person, because that's just not what's happening here. James agrees over on YouTube. They are not astronauts, period. Alan says, but you got to give it to him. He's 90. That's the craziest thing. I mean, I think they said he was waving, so he's okay, hopefully.
It's just I immediately go back to when I rode in that little, like, stunt plane, mm-hmm. and the intensity of the G-force that was nothing compared to, like, the roller coaster stuff that I've ever experienced. And then this, I thought it would break his damn bones.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I mean,
I thought I was going to throw up the whole time.
That's a lot of pressure. And I saw when he was doing the interview, he's sitting there, he's got a big old belly on him, and Captain Kirk's
ate a cheeseburger.
He's not in the greatest of shape. He's shown us that many just average Joes and Janes could strap their ass onto this wiener rocket and go straight up there. But again, they don't do anything. The whole thing, from the moment it takes off to the moment it lands on the ground, is completely and totally automated. It's all computers that run the whole process.
Okay, so, and I mean, I know what your answer is going to be, but let's at least explore this. Right now on Google, from Oxford Languages Dictionary, mm-hmm. astronaut says a person who is trained to travel in a spacecraft.
Okay, well.
No.
They were trained.
What other definitions are there? I want to find one that's better. Hold on.
It's not how it works.
No. There's a better one.
Dictionary.
It says trained to travel in a spacecraft. But they're not trained to travel in a spacecraft. They're trained to sit in a spacecraft. That just kind of goes up for a couple of minutes or something. I just don't. So here's.
I'm sorry. Is Bezos your? Why are you in the spacesuit, dude?
This
you didn't go up.
An astronaut is a person trained, equipped, and deployed by a human spaceflight program to serve as a commander or crew member aboard a spacecraft. They can't be called any of that. They're not doing anything. You want
to
hear from?
Yep, talking to Shatner.
Oh, let's hear. Let's listen in, Celine.
You know what my. The impression I had that I never expected to have.
You couldn't get a microphone?
You can't, they can't even hear him.
Is he shooting up?
Oh my gosh.
And this loose guy.
Come here. I want one.
Nobody's listening to Shatner.
I want to hear this. Here. You want a little of this?
So now you're going to spray Shatner in the face? Oh, he's pissed.
Oh, he's mad.
He was in the middle of a speech.
He wanted to do an emotional speech and nobody was listening.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
The champagne showers have begun.
He is not pleased.
Smiles all around.
Except for Shatner.
Shatner taking in the moment clearly.
He's not happy about this.
I wouldn't be happy either in the middle of a conversation. They're all screaming.
He was trying.
Oh, here we go.
Everybody in the world needs to be.
Is that his wife?
Everybody.
I think it might be. He's crying.
Oh my God. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, you know, the little things. But to see the blue cover.
He's going to start yelling at the people.
And now you're staring into blackness. That's the thing. The covering of blue, this sheet, this blanket, this comforter of blue that we have around us. We think, oh, it's blue sky. And then suddenly you shoot through it all of a sudden, as so though you whip off a sheet off.
Those people in the background, shut up.
Into blackness, into black ugliness. And you look down, and there's the blue down there, and the black up there, and it's just, there is mother and earth and comfort. And is there death?
Daddy,
I don't know.
Dog.
Is he okay?
Is that the way death is? Whoop, and it's gone.
Thinking about Jesus.
There we go.
What one the? Small step for man and one weird ass speech from William Shatner.
What a weird dichotomy there. There's a group like, yeah, champagne. And he's like, it's the blue of the earth and death below you. Is
I'm surprised that there are that amount of people outside of that shot, like mm-hmm. hooting and hollering. And like nobody is focused on like the big the whole big thing was
there's a stream with hundreds of thousands of people probably watching, waiting to hear from William Shatner, and they're just like party.
His face looks so pissed off.
I mean, is that DJ Crispy's entourage?
That's what it is. Bing, 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 bing. DJ Crispy's partying it up.
Yo, my album's gonna blow up.
Oh man,
still can't find him. I still cannot find his name. I do DJ and Blue Origin, DJ William Shatner, DJ Crispy with a K.
Somebody said he's like a world-renowned physicist, Chris C-H-R-A-S P period.
So he's not a DJ.
No, he's a DJ too, I guess. He's pick multi-talented. He wants to be a DJ, an astronaut, a physicist. It's a
Crispy,
lot to tackle totally. All right, when we come back, we have so much to get into. A very, very busy show today. We'll return with insanity on the front lawn of the laundry household, because that continues in this whole Gabby Petito case, and much more. Plus, your dispatches are already rolling in, so we want to hear from you next. Stay with us. It's the news. Junkie on Real Radio.
High diving face first into the world's most viral newsroom. This is the News Junkie.
Well, how William Shatner is that? After the man goes to space for three whopping minutes.
Fake space.
And then he comes down. I guess he's giving Jeff Bezos critiques on like what should be changed. He's like, actually, here's what we need to do. The spaceship needs this. And what was he saying? Like the simulators need some work.
Yeah. And something about his stomach. I don't know. I guess he had a couple little critiques, constructive criticism.
It wouldn't be William Shatner if he didn't do that.
For Jeff Bezos.
Afterwards, he says, you got to do this. And then we tracked down the DJ that went up with William Shatner.
Oh, finally.
And guess how many followers this guy has on Twitter, Sabrina?
On Twitter?
Yeah. The DJ Crispy.
I mean, he just went to space. Mm-hmm. World renowned, I believe a chatter said, right?
Yeah.
I would say probably a million.
All right.
Okay. His music page on Twitter, Dr. Crispy Music, C-H-R-I-S-P-Y, has 435 followers.
I'm sorry?
Just getting
That's
started.
That's for real?
Yeah, 435 followers.
He's following more people than are following him.
He's
like
off
Tyrese.
He's off balance. Well, we're going to get to some of your dispatches from the News Junkie app in just a second here. But the absolute insanity continues outside the house of Brian Laundrie's parents. And I'm going to show you what's going on there in a second. But yesterday on the show, we had the official coroner report released. And as you can see, if you're watching here on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch, there wasn't a lot to it. It said, in the matter of the death of Gabrielle Venora Petito, I, Brent Blue, MD, coroner of Teton County, Wyoming, hereby find the cause and manner of death to be cause death by manual strangulation or throttling, manner homicide, signed Brent Blue, MD, Teton County Coroner. That's it.
I was telling my friend Emily yesterday, like, of all the press conferences that we've, you know, taken live, yeah, it was the most bizarre one of all time.
It was weird.
Usually, you know, it's in front of the press and there's a bunch of microphones and there's people standing behind you and they introduce and explain the whole case and it takes forever. Then we have this guy on Zoom, mic is off, and his cheeks are so red because he's getting real nervous. And all of a sudden, he goes right to the point, much like that letter. I think he reads it verbatim. And then a woman crosses over, shows her T's, and goes, I don't think they can hear you. I think their mics are still off.
And then he did it again. This was the actual moment, if you missed it. This is him. All right, so he starts.
Hello. Thank you all for joining us. I am Dr. Brent Blue, Teton County, Wyoming coroner.
Just a Zoom.
After a detailed investigation by our forensic pathologist, our anthropologist, and local law enforcement, with assistance from the FBI, the Teton County Coroner Office is filing the following verdict in the death of Gabrielle Lenora Petito.
Messages in chat say we can't hear anything.
The cause and manner of death to be the cause death by strangulation, and manner is homicide. By Wyoming state statute, no other information will be released about the autopsy.
Here she comes.
The only thing that is released in the state of Wyoming is cause and manner of death.
I think they said they can't hear you.
Okay.
She leads it.
Oh, okay.
And he goes, okay, do I start it again? And he does, if I kept playing it, you'd hear it. He does the same thing once again. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing that people didn't know about. This was almost insanity. There was something that went really, 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 really wrong, but nobody caught on to this. And it almost was a huge embarrassment. So there's a reporter, and I actually just had up one of his tweets. Brian Enten is the guy's name, and he's one of the major reporters covering this case. He's from a channel called News Nation Now, and he's been on the scene at the laundry house forever. And there were like four or five people who had hacked the Zoom call, and they had put their name as Brian Enten, and they kept trying to chime in. And one of them was like, listen, MFers, and was like all kinds of offensive stuff, and put me on now. And they were waiting. And if they would have put that person on, which they almost did, they were going to troll them and like do something super embarrassing, like, you know, say something about Gabby that's god awful or whatever.
Why did they choose to do a Zoom call? Is it Wyoming has a lot more restrictions?
I don't know. Yeah, they didn't talk about a lot. They mentioned a couple of things. There was a few pieces of news in there. They said that she was not pregnant, because you remember there was a whole like conspiracy theory that she was pregnant. They said it was death by strangulation. He said at one point, hey, you know, there's a lot of cases of domestic violence that don't get this much attention. And you're like, oh, okay, you're working domestic violence into this now, which is him kind of hedging and leaning towards what he thinks happened in this case. But there wasn't a ton there, because all the reporters would be like, what did you see that led you to believe it was strangulation?
Well,
he said, in the state of Wyoming, we only release the manner and cause of death. And then they would be like, well, what did you find on the scene? What did you find that led you to believe this happened or that happened? Do you think Brian Laundrie did it? In the state of Wyoming, we only release the manner and cause of death. And he said it over and over. And then on Pops, you guys know John Walsh from America's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
On Pops, John Walsh. Let me see if I can bring this up just so you can hear it.
If he kept giving that boilerplate answer, how did we get to the fact that, at what point did he release that she had been found and they determined she had been dead for 3 to 4 weeks?
Because people kept pushing, and finally he gave that little piece of information up. Yeah, he said 3 to 4 weeks, they said, and they wouldn't say if her body was impacted by weather or any kind of animals or anything like that. But they pushed enough to get a little bit out of him.
I mean, I wonder if it would have been more... like more effective for the coroner's office to have a spokesperson who doesn't know anything about the case,
mm-hmm.
instead of the coroner. The coroner, that guy's the coroner. He knows all the details. He knows all the answers to all those questions,
right?
And is prohibited by Wyoming law to answer any of them.
So, is that information ever going to be released?
It will have to with the trial. That'll be something that makes it come forward. But John Walsh pops in, dude from America's Most Wanted. Now he's on another show. And he straight up plugged his show.
No, he did not.
Yeah, and he made it like he was just kind of introducing himself. Let me see. Is this him? Okay, hold on. Yeah, this is it right here. So John Walsh jumps on in just a second. And then he's like, John Walsh.
Chris, I believe that you are muted.
And he plugs his station and his show.
Okay, it's John Walsh from In Pursuit with John Walsh on Discovery ID. Dr. Blue, thank you for your time. I think everybody in the world believes that Brian Laundrie killed Gabby. With your extensive work on the body, are you sure that it's Brian Laundrie? And will the FBI issue a nationwide homicide warrant now that they know the cause of death?
He can't do any of that. He's not going to answer any of that.
We are only tasked with the determination of cause and manner of death.
So he said that over and over and over as a response to this thing. And here's what I was going to show you and play for everybody. You'll hear this too, those of you who are listening along or podcasting or whatever. And you've got Brian Laundrie's parents' home. That's where Dog the Bounty Hunter's been. That's where all these people have been camped out, where the neighbors are
throwing laundry baskets.
Somebody's throwing laundry baskets.
The guy's cleaning up the laundry baskets like, if only our last name were Gold.
Yeah. And they had to deal with more last night after this autopsy result. Here's the moment here. There's some people up at the front door, banging on the screen door, trying to get in. It's like late at night, you know.
Not the same door dog was banging
it
on?
It is. They're filming. They're walking right up to the house, mind you. They're not on, like, the side of the street or anything. They're up by the windows. They're live streaming. It's some guy and some girl. Like, they're going to be the ones who solve this problem.
Come on.
Dude, get... You guys like to strangle people, he said. Who do these people think they are, man? Joe Justice here. So weird. And I know people feel like this. Angel says on YouTube, they deserve to be trolled. Yeah, whatever. It's just, I think these people are still weird, even if you think they deserve to be trolled. It's a really strange behavior.
And it's like, what are you doing with your life, for real, though?
Live streaming.
And then Fox News is like, we're going to stay back here.
Let's film these idiots. They're just walking down the street. You almost got it, folks. Did you think you were going to be the one that... Laundry family, we like strangling people. And they're going to pop their heads out and go, we actually do. It's a family tradition. We strangle at least one person a year. God, get the cops. I'm ready to admit to everything. We're now done. Oh, good God. You know, this is embarrassing. So while I think that the family has done some bad things and it looks like they've tried to protect their son and broken the law, perhaps, question mark, whilst doing this, I still think the people who go over there and troll like this are really weird. It's just strange behavior to me to want to do that. I guess they also said they found some DNA on Gabby Petito's body. That's not surprising to anybody. It very well could be, and this is what I would guess is going to happen here, that when Brian Laundrie was strangling her, which is what most people think happened right now, you get defensive wounds, and sometimes people will, you know, grab at whoever's doing that, and they'll get skin and DNA under their fingernails.
Well, that, and, you know, think about the body cam footage heard around the world when it popped up, and he had a scratch. Everyone assumed that she was abusive, and it's like, nope, that very well could have been a defensive wound as well.
From something else that happened previously, yeah. I mean, who the hell knows? It's really hard
to determine. The Laundrie family.
Yeah, and they're not going to be swayed by these lunatics on the front lawn, unfortunately. I don't think that's going to have a big impact on things. All right, let's go to your dispatches from the News Junkie app and see what's happening in your world. Here is Daniel with a dispatch.
Good morning, News Junkies.
Good afternoon.
I'm a commercially rated helicopter pilot, also a commercially rated fixed-wing pilot. We go through intense exams, lots of study, everything else. And we do, in the aviation community, find it offensive when somebody who operates a drone from the ground calls themselves a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
We scoff at them. We think it's ridiculous. And it's stolen valor, just like the astronaut thing. Anyway, have a good day. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Question to this person. Would it be acceptable to say drone pilot?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it probably sounds a little more fancy than it is. A drone operator could be one, but I mean, like,
they have a permit for it.
Yeah, I mean,
Radio Michael 7 has like an FAA license that allows them to operate drones.
I guess you got to go by what are people going to think when you say something. And if you say, "Hey, I'm an astronaut," I think that you
how long you've been working at NASA?
We work at NASA. You're a trained person. You know how to operate the mechanics of a spaceship. You know. You have a specialty that you provide.
Like if somebody came to me and said, "Yeah, I'm a pilot too," and you know, "Oh, what do you fly? Fixed wing, you know, the jets, single engine." It goes, "Oh no, a DJI Mavic Pro." I'd be like, "Shut up, poser." But if he said, "I'm a drone pilot," I mean,
agree.
There are certain situations now more than ever where you can make a living doing drone work for real estate, for all kinds of things, surveying.
Yeah.
And so, like,
drone pilot, I agree with.
Yeah.
I think it's accurate. I mean, and then you know when they say that what they're talking about. But these.
And I'm not trying to steal anybody's valor if I'm saying that, I'm not a drone pilot. I have one failed. I have a couple successful drone missions.
You did end up in a tree, as I recall.
One time there was ended in a tree.
I just think that William Shatner is no astronaut. You know, it's just very, very clear to me. Here is Dizzy Liz with a dispatch.
Man, that launch, like, I love launches. I grew up in Florida. I loved watching the shuttles when I was a kid. And when they brought back the rockets and I had kids, I was like, oh, thank God, because that was an experience I thought they would never have. To watch Captain Kirk go up, and it does piss me off that they didn't put a camera in the pod, but then again, I don't want to watch him possibly pass away in space.
See?
While he's trying to have this really emotional moment and Bezos couldn't care less. Oh, that just broke my heart a little bit. But also, listening to William Shatner is like listening to my grandfather. Like, he has really good stuff to say. But you gotta just let him get it
listen.
Out. And it takes a while. That's all.
Yeah. Well, William Shatner's like, I looked down on Mother Earth, and I thought about life and
death. It's a blue blanket.
And Bezos is like, ah, thanks for riding my wiener rocket. How about some champagne?
Spray you in the eye, Shat.
Bezos almost Kanye'd him. He was like, I'm going to let you finish, but first.
Oh, man.
And then he started crying.
It just didn't go, I don't think, the way that William Shatner was perhaps hoping for. But we'll see what you think about it. Send us your dispatches. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. When we come back, oh boy, do we have more to get to, including there is another story out about John Gruden, who, of course, lost his gig this week as the coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. But now we're wondering what else was found in these emails and why is John Gruden the only one who has been the target of this? Is there more to it? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. It's The News Junkie on Real Radio.
High diving face first into the world's most viral newsroom. This is the News Junkie.
We'll get to your dispatches from the News Junkie app in just a moment. You have lots of thoughts because there's a lot happening in the world. John Gruden's career, is it over? Some of the folks who are responding to this whole controversy are saying, like, yes, dude is done. It's over with. He's never going to coach again. You never know about this stuff. Sometimes time goes by, people calm down. But the interesting thing is, with all these emails that came out, and keep in mind, this NFL investigation that ended up sinking John Gruden, the coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, and leading to him resigning as coach of the team, it wasn't even an investigation that was targeting him.
No.
He just got like caught up in it. And then from what I can tell, and again, not great at sports over here, but still, from what I could tell, the NFL in the process of doing this unrelated investigation took John Gruden's emails and then leaked them to the owner, or I don't know if you want to use the word leak, gave them to the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. And it was the owner of the Raiders that was like, all right, here's this info. And now they're saying the NFL doesn't plan to release any more from the investigation that revealed John Gruden's emails.
Oh, so no details as to why they're doing this investigation?
I mean, if they were looking into like all the coaches or if they were intercepting email from a lot of different people, they're like, nope, we're done. It almost seems like
that. And he's the only coach in the entire NFL that would get in trouble?
I don't know. I find it hard to believe that nobody else had a questionable email. I mean, I find it hard to believe. And it seems like
Well, think about it. If everybody was prim and proper in their email and John Gruden was the only one calling people pussies and queers, don't you think that we would have heard about this a long time ago?
Maybe. But when I look at this, I go, it seems like the NFL had it out for the dude. I don't know why, but they got one guy and they're done.
Do we know what the target of the original investigation was?
It was an investigation into the workplace of the Washington football team. So if you remember all the stories about improper behavior at the Washington football team with
harassment and stuff.
Yeah, there was a bunch of stuff that was in that. That's what they were investigating. And unrelated to all this, you know, they're probably doing some searches and they find John Gruden stuff. And then they dive deeper into his emails. It says, John Gruden is no longer the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, tendering his resignation following a report uncovering offensive remarks used in emails while he was an employee of ESPN. While the discussion first swirled on Gruden's comments directed at DeMaurice Smith, then it went wider, and then they got into a lot of stuff. This investigation, though, had more than 600,000 documents across 10 months of discovery. And they say the NFL does not plan to release more information about the investigation into the workplace of the Washington football team. So they're not even going to release anything about what they were investigating.
Well, now I want to know.
They got unrelated to John Gruden, and they said, we're done. You know, 600,000 documents here. We don't need to look any further. But it is
the opinion of some that ESPN is not covering the Gruden thing super heavily because He was employed at ESPN at the time.
Really? So they're kind of laying off of this a little bit? Well, this here is from ESPN, and I guess there's one guy who's like not thrilled. Ryan Clark, I think, is his name. Let's see what he says.
Let me be very clear. I feel like that if it was just the racist trope or just some racially charged emails against a black man, that John Gruden would still have his job. So we're not going to frame this as John Gruden is now or no longer the coach of the Las Vegas Raiders because he said something racist or because he feels racist. And I've talked to a lot of white men, because you mentioned Bruce Allen and obviously John Gruden. And the one common theme between all of those white men is that I can't believe he sent those emails. Not I can't believe he doesn't think this way. Not I can't believe that a man that thinks this way has been highly successful, not only in America, but in this sport that does have a ton of diversity, that does have people of all shapes, all sizes, all colors.
I think when somebody says, I can't believe he sent those emails, they're implying, I can't believe he said the things that were in the emails. I think that's implied in saying that.
Well, not just when we first talked about it, though, Sean, we all said, I can't believe you sent that via email.
Right. Some of the stuff was...
Because you think about our text messages, and we got into that discussion about, you know, the things that would be on your cell phone and how different than your work email.
Sure. And some of the stuff falls under that umbrella, I think. But when somebody says, I can't believe he sent those emails, I think they're distancing themselves from the content in the emails. Not just like... The only thing you should be upset about is the fact that he sent him an email. I just don't know if I think that take is right. And this guy apparently thinks that it's over and John Gruden's career is done. He might be right about that. I mean, this is not good for him. And he's not out there defending himself, obviously. In the NFL, if that's what they wanted, they got it. You know, Gruden is on the back end of this and not in a good way. And they said another headline was Gruden's career deliberately assassinated. Questions linger as why only his emails appear to have leaked out. Gruden's emails to Allen, who was fired by the NFL's Washington football team at the end of 2019, were reviewed as part of the NFL investigation of workplace misconduct within the franchise. Goodell instructed league executives to look at more than 650,000 emails during the past few months, including those in which Gruden made offensive remarks. Last week, Goodell received a summary of their findings, and the league sent the Raiders some of the emails written by Gruden. Maybe they didn't find anything else. Maybe there was nothing else in there. But it just seems a little strange and a little focused on one coach in particular if they're all kind of talking this way. Let's see how you're talking. Let's get to your dispatches from the News Junkie app. By the way, I don't know if people know about this, but it's October 13th, which is World No Bra Day.
Oh.
This is right in the middle of Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
She would tell me that before I got to the show with the bra on.
Didn't know until I was looking at what was happening in the world today.
Are you guys going to take off your bras?
I'm going to keep mine on. I need the support here in the studio. The motive of the day is to promote breast cancer awareness in both men and women. And it encourages all to spot early warning signs and get an edge in the fight against the disease. So doing good things and a smart way to get attention with a name like World No Bra Day. Just keep all this stuff in mind. Obviously, it's affected so many families out there. It's unbelievable.
It makes sense to me because I think on my time hop this morning, I saw, and I can't find my phone, so I can't find if there's a picture, but there was something I posted where... It was a picture of you trying to do the show, and Sabrina hung her bra on your microphone.
Yeah. Okay, well, that makes sense if it's a flashback.
And I was like, why were we doing this? And I was like, oh,
God.
Were we talking about World No Bra Day like 5 or 6 years ago?
That's the weirdest thing about this show is we've now been doing this for long enough that I'm like, I've never heard of that. And you could go back into the archives and have us talking about it.
And then... We think and have a moment where like, what's wrong with my brain? What happened? Why did I black all these memories out?
I don't remember that at all. Let's go over to your dispatches. Here's Trinidad J with a dispatch.
So yeah, Sean, about this John Gruden stuff. I don't think it's the fact that they had it out for him. I think it's the fact that they don't want to out the whole NFL.
Yeah,
that
maybe.
They're all saying off the wall stuff. Just leave it like that. Period. See ya.
It's an interesting take, Trinidad J, because imagine if the NFL digs in and they see that John Gruden has sent these messages. He gets caught up in somebody else's net, right? And then somebody else goes, well, we kept digging in and we found out 25% of the coaches in the NFL sent similar emails to Gruden. And they go, no, stop.
We're going to have a job fair.
Yeah, we can't lose a quarter of the coaches right now. We need a sacrificial lamb. And then John Gruden is like, all right, Chucky's out of here. You're gone.
You know who is extremely pleased with this news?
Who's that?
Urban Meyer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's really happy that wife.
You thought what I did over the pants, HJ? I mean, this guy.
I wonder if anybody in that situation ever sends, like, flowers or an appreciation note to the other. Thank you for taking
the
spotlight.
Sucks for you, man.
And you know what? Next week, the week after, there'll be somebody new to start taking bullets, and then John Gruden can send them flowers, and round and round we go, I guess. Here is, let's see, Daytona with a dispatch.
Hey, Junkies.
Hey.
I find it a little bit hypocritical, or a lot hypocritical, that Deshaun Watson standing on the sideline getting paid dozens of sexual assault claims against him.
What?
Snoop Dre performing the halftime show. Maybe the NFL hasn't listened to any of their lyrics off the Chronic album or any of the other
lyric
ones.
Thing.
Come on. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, that's Squid Sense for the day. Have a good one.
Thanks for the Squid Sense.
Have you heard their lyrics?
I don't know.
They're not, I don't think they're going to be performing their, you know, Murder Was the Case They Gave Me and, Dre is dead in the basement.
I mean, if there was one of them that had a homophobic song or something, I could see some sort of tie-in, maybe?
Yeah, Eminem.
Yeah. Is he going to be performing?
Yeah, but he made up with Elton, remember? He's cool now.
I mean, I guess, look, some of that stuff
Elton
is...
gave him the gay pass?
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say some of the stuff is in the rearview mirror, but these emails from John Gruden were all older, too. And... I don't know. I mean, look, you could do that on virtually any topic you wanted to.
There's a conspiracy theory.
What? Which
they
one?
Found out about all this stuff, knew it's going to be a controversy. They're like, we're going to show you the NFL is the farthest thing from racist by having four rappers do the halftime show.
You don't know how long they've known about this for. There's no telling.
I will tell you, if this is what we get, then I'm super excited.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, and who was the other person?
Oh,
wasn't it like a legendary?
Kendrick Lamar.
Yes.
Kendrick. All together, hoot and a half.
There was one newer artist I remember. Yes, Kendrick Lamar. So, I don't know. I mean, we'll see how everybody digests this stuff. We'll see if anything else comes of it. But
there's so many people bitching about that. And somebody commented at the time, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, was Prince pushing a new album when he did the halftime show?
Right, yeah. All right, well, we'll get to more of your thoughts. You can join us on the show. It's real easy to do. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store right now. When we come back, we'll roll on with those dispatches. Plus, a woman caught up in a scam is really, really pissed off. Hold on, what's that? Okay, she's not mad at all anymore.
All right.
How did we change so fast? Well, wait till you hear this mind-blowing story that's coming up next. It's The News Junkie on Real Radio.
If you don't dig it, we'll eat our hat. The big floppy brimmed one.
But we look really good in that one.
Real Radio 104.1.
Radio. Radio. 104.1.
Beware the chat room. Trust us, you've been warned. This is The News Junkie.
No, we're not nameless, we're not faceless. We were born for greatness.
I don't want to see what everybody thinks about this story because this is insane to me. Maybe not you. So chat, tell me what you think. Dispatchers, send in those dispatches from the News Junkie app. And when I see a headline like this, I know what the reactions are going to be already, but I still do just find it really weird and stupid. And you're always going to have the people who are like, this is it. It's an example of the pussification of America. And you go, all right, calm down. And then you see other people who are like, no, this is the right thing to do. I think this is such a weird, weird move. And here's the story right here, if you want to take a look. The headline says, they set out to do it. Michigan school angry after opposing players scored 16 goals in one game against them. And this is two high school soccer teams playing each other, and one team was getting its ass kicked. And the team got so mad about getting its ass kicked, they started to bring this forward, and the opposing coach apologized for beating them so badly. And, you know, they wanted the players to, like, start apologizing for, oh, you scored 16 goals. I think it was before halftime, and they, like, shut the game down. And they
I mean,
wanted...
16 is a lot for a soccer game. That's crazy.
So, I mean, to me, like...
I'm not saying I agree with what they did, but it is a wild loss.
But it's a lot. Yeah, 17 points total. Is 17 points total in a soccer game. Should you apologize to that, or is it the other team's fault? They're just not as good. Maybe you shouldn't be playing that team. Maybe they should fix the scheduling or something.
This always comes up.
They're apologizing,
especially
though.
In, like, I don't know, high school sports. Like, we've had this conversation before, and there's I think that there is a line when it comes to good sportsmanship. Yes, clearly, I think after the eighth goal, halfway through the score you just mentioned, they realize that they are significantly better than the other team. So it's like, are you being a good sport at that point? That, I believe, would be the argument on one side. Well, the other side is like exactly what you're saying.
Well, let's see what the article says. Here's what it says. A school board in northern Michigan plans to send a protest over sportsmanship. So they're going to send a protest about this over sportsmanship following a soccer player's 16-goal record-setting game against a winless team. Kevin Hubble, one of the best players in Michigan, scored 16 goals. Well, Kevin, you're too good. Calm down, please.
Hey, Kevin was nice enough, though, to let one of the other kids on the team score one goal.
Thank you, Kevin.
To win 17-0, I believe.
He started to feel a little greedy.
Was like Jamie Tart.
Mind you, the most goals in an MLS game, the record, was on June 4th, 1998, where the LA Galaxy beat Dallas 8-1.
Wow, so this is double that. It's a lot. There's no doubt about it. But it's not their fault the other team sucks, is it? I mean, this is a lesson in life. Sometimes you get your ass kicked. That's the way it goes. They said Kevin Hubble, the player, set national and state records for the most goals in a high school game. He was firing them off like a rocket, said Heather Bartlemé, a Kingsley School Board member whose son was the goalkeeper for part of the game.
that's why it's making the news.
Yeah, she's not very excited about this. Kingsley School Board Superintendent Keith Smith told the Associated Press that it was a cheap shot. They set out to do it, and they did it. Yeah, they set out to beat you, of course. You should set out to every game to beat the other team. It has no place in high school athletics. Moving forward from getting knocked on your face is a great life lesson, but our soccer program is a fledgling program. We only have so many kids. The team that they beat is 0-16. They've scored only 7 goals all season long. And
so why did they even have a matchup, honestly?
Yeah. I mean, forfeit or don't.
Well, no, that's quitting without even trying.
I know, but doesn't it seem weird to go, all right, we're going to play you, team, but you guys, like, come on, be easy on us here. Like, well, please don't do your best. Play at 65% of your best.
Look, I can certainly, like, relate to when I played high school sports, and then definitely most recently when I played an adult recreational league, we knew what teams were going to kick our asses.
Right.
And what did we do instead? We just drank more before the game.
Yeah.
Had a good time.
You take it in stride. It, you know, it is what it is. And
so, high schooler, Sabrina's advice is drink more before the game.
If you want to take down a loss like this.
Yeah, that or buck up.
You're going to need to do it. Somebody said the coach should have thrown in the white towel. Well, I guess they did because they said they cut it off at halftime. I believe the game played.
Could you imagine if they did not?
No, they would have been in the 30s. The game played on September 29th was declared over at halftime with a score of 17-0.
Yeah, you know, and this could have been avoided too. How about after Kevin's eighth goal? Again, take him out for a second. Let the bench players play.
I just think that tell your kids to play their best. Get out there and do the best that you can. And if the other team doesn't do as well, they don't do as well. That's why they cut it off at halftime, I guess.
Let me throw this at you. And just for the sake of conversation, as a former boxer, I did it for like 2 days.
When I didn't box for 2 days.
Sorry, 2 weeks.
No, I boxed for years.
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are in a fight and you have now been knocked to the ground and then you keep getting punched, maybe this is an MMA kind of style fight, but the referee goes in and stops it.
Right.
Right? Because it's too much. I feel like this is as if a fighter just kept punching and punching and punching and punching and punching.
But what you're highlighting is the difference, and this is key, I think, between physical and emotional pain. These kids aren't facing any physical pain by getting their asses kicked in soccer.
You don't think they're physically exhausted?
I think that they're embarrassed and emotionally they've been kicked in the ass. But physical pain is very, very different.
I mean, they called the game at halftime. So I mean, it's almost like that rule in ping pong where if you get to 7-0, you win or lose automatically.
Yeah, yeah. Or
did
like,
you know that ping pong rule beyond?
I did not.
Okay.
I've
only, so why you lie? Because I'm like, ping pong rule? You're a ping pong player?
He at least strikes me as a ping pong player.
I've played some pong.
I've played apparently very, very long games of pong because no one ever stopped me at 7.
Well, you have things like, everybody knows this.
Might be an optional.
If you play sports growing up, in baseball, you have like a run rule. If you get, if your team gets so many runs, and they'll like switch it over and the other team will get to go up. And you do some things that try to be decent. But this is a straight up, this is a high school game. You know, this is a real actual game between these two teams. And it seems to me like, one team lost and their parents got upset and said, how dare you? You humiliated our players. And your players just didn't win. That's the way it is sometimes. It would be like doing a, not a marathon, but like
a race,
any kind of relay race. Okay. And you know, your team is in the relay race and you're just kicking the other team's asses. And the crowd starts to get mad at you. Like, you guys are winning by too much. So, you know, you got to slow down and pretend, right? Everybody pretend like we're not as good as we are, and we'll make everybody else feel better about this. This other team needs to work on their soccer game. That's what needs to happen here.
And maybe another sport.
But maybe they, yes, that might be a good idea to go to another sport entirely because they're that bad, apparently, at this particular sport. But to say that they need to apologize for kicking somebody else's ass on the pitch seems to be silly to me. And they say most people on social media, that's where you get all the best, most accurate, 100% tuned in, really on par with society opinions.
Facebook,
social media,
Instagram,
baby.
Twitter, y'all see this?
It's that most people, I'm sure, on social media weren't impressed by the accomplishment. Instead, criticizing the blowout as poor sportsmanship and the bullying of a struggling team. Now it's bullying to beat another team. Many felt that Hubble should have been taken off the game before hitting the record. I mean, the kid broke the record, and you're like, you're too good.
In okay, but case, did he break the record because that team was so bad? Had it been an equal, you know, equal, what's the word I'm looking for?
Matchup?
Skill, you know, matchup. He wouldn't have had the record, right?
That's the way the records work. It goes out there, you're playing an officially sanctioned game.
Find it cheap.
You do well enough, and you get the record. And the idea that they were like, no, we're going to shut you down so you can't get the record. It's just weird to me. But that's what's happening with this Michigan soccer team. I want to see what everybody thinks about this. So hit us up with your dispatches from the News Junkie app. And I was on some bad teams. I was on some teams that got their asses kicked. And I remember being like, oh,
my fifth grade basketball team was very bullied.
Yeah.
With points.
And did you ever say, we want the other team to apologize for beating us this badly?
No. Yes. I said the ref should pull the whistle out of his ass and blow it.
So we'll see what you think about this. And we'll go over to, let's see, here's Bong Knight with a dispatch from the News Junkie app.
Hey, guys. With that soccer match, if you're up 10 goals at halftime, they'll stop the game. But up until then, they will not stop it. My daughter lost 13-0. And they added time on at the end of the half for injury time. I was so pissed.
They kept going.
They just started throwing themselves on the ground.
That's pretty brutal, actually. Like, not only are we going to make it go the whole game, we're going to put on that stoppage time at the end. Let's go over to Swindlino with a dispatch.
Junkies, what up?
Hey.
I was listening to you just now talking about, you know, the... You know, after 8 goals, they should have did this or that, or 17 goals is a lot. The problem is with soccer, the clock is always moving already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have an AAU basketball game and the one team starts winning by over 20, they start running a continuous clock as to make it go faster. But in soccer, I think because the clock's always moving anyways. Always.
Sort of similar.
You can't really speed it up anymore.
Right.
So... they just have to catch that ass whooping.
Sort of similar to kind of what the last guy was talking about. Like, yeah, they'll stop it at halftime when the clock is supposed to stop.
Yeah.
It just so happens that at his daughter's game, they still put the stoppage time
they
on.
They kept going. The thing you got to think about here, I think, maybe the most important thing is this team is, or at least some of the parents of players on this high school team in Michigan, is complaining that the other team beat them 17-0, that they should apologize for doing this, that this was unsportsmanlike, et cetera, et cetera. And they did stop the game at halftime. They stopped the game in the center and didn't go further with it and cut it off because they thought it was unwinnable for the other team. And still there's criticism here. Now, maybe that was a decision of, like, the officials, or I don't know who actually pulls the trigger on that decision.
Maybe, or, well, I imagine it's the officials after that much time. As far as this coach, it might have just been on his own accord to apologize. Maybe a little bit of pressure, but when it comes to sports like that, I think he genuinely probably felt bad.
Well, but the school board is even going after this team for doing what they did.
Yeah, because her kid was the goalie who let all those goals in.
The goalie who just really didn't show up to play that day. They said the shutout loss was pretty demoralizing. Kingsley head coach Tim Van Wingerden was quoted as saying in the Record Eagle. Yeah, it'd be pretty demoralizing. That life is pretty demoralizing sometimes. You learn a lesson from it, you move on, and you try to get to a better place in your career. You realize soccer's not for you.
By the way,
maybe radio.
For those who were wondering, just at the edge of their seat waiting for the answer on this, the ping pong rule is called the skunk rule.
Get out of here.
Or the mercy rule.
Still going with ping pong?
It is unofficial. It's not a part of the USATT. It's just one of the basement rules they call
this guy with the USATT over here now.
Like, yeah, you, today is National Take Your Bra Off Day, so
you just learned about the USATT.
Go USATTs!
All of a sudden, he's a ping pong expert. Here's Booty Sweat with a dispatch.
Yeah. Strike me down. Strike me down because what I'm saying is ridiculous. And then just go straight to Booty Sweat.
I challenge you, Christopher Lane, if we can get a hold of one Friday. A ping pong match.
Do you think you could beat him?
If we do the ping pong USTT rule, yeah.
If you beat him, it's going to demoralize him worse than this soccer team.
Really?
He just took a stance like, you know.
And I'll make Sean apologize to you.
Table tennis. I'm not apologizing. I'm going to let him just drown in all of his sorrows.
So you don't want to be my coach?
No, but I will root for you because I would like to see him cry.
What is wrong with
you? I would cry?
You'd have to get beat pretty bad.
I've lost more ping pong matches in my life than I've won.
Yeah, I'm not good either, but let's see what Booty Sweat says.
Yeah, Booty Sweat.
Hey, John. I agree with Sabrina.
Thank you.
If one kid is absolutely destroying a team single-handedly, I think it's on the coach to take him out of the game and let some kids who don't normally get to play go in there.
Stop winning.
But as far as the losing team is concerned, a term in the gamer community that we have is get good.
Mm-hmm.
Get good.
And if you can't get good, get on to something else.
Teach.
Soccer's not going to do it for you. That kid's never going to be a goalie. That kid's mom, instead of whining about how he got his ass kicked, that kid's mom needs to sit down with him and go, son, we have to have a conversation.
Have you considered taking a job as a school board member?
You suck at soccer, and we need you to move on to something else. You're humiliating the family, and really, this is my last conversation with you, unless you never play soccer again. That will change the game here. That will fix the problems that we see in front of us. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Let us know. Send us your dispatches. You can download the app right now. It's free. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store right now, and you can be on the show with us in just a moment. When we come back, there's a lot of old people who aren't good at technology.
How dare you!
Some people are really bad, though, and make a public furor about something that maybe didn't happen. Who did this? Wait till you hear the details. They're coming up in just a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Oh, hi. You need something?
Say it.
Real Radio.
The rates are low again. That's right. You heard me correctly. The lowest they have been since the record lows last year. Now that mortgage guy, Don from HomeLoansRadio.com, says it's related to the low yields in the 10-year treasury notes, mortgage-backed securities, half-point COVID fee on refinances, all these terms, I have no idea what it means, but that's why I work with that mortgage guy, Don, and that's why you should too, because he knows. He also knows that it's not going to last very long, so if you messed up last year, did not take advantage of it, waited too long, flopped, failed, fizzled, floundered, went astray, missed the mark, just don't mess up again. Go to HomeLoansRadio.com. Fill out that application. I mean, once you're on the website, you'll see chock full of information for you, guides on how to get pre-approved, reliable mortgage information, direct access to that mortgage guide, Don, all the past episodes of the Home Loans Radio show. But if you want to click apply now, fill out that application. That mortgage guide, Don, is going to get back to you with a free written quote, typically the same day. So get answers, get started, and get the help you deserve by going to HomeLoansRadio.com.
From
Radio 104.1.
The show that takes you from Skywall Summer to Jack Rocket Fall. Whatever that means. This is the News Junkie.
I tell you this story. I want you to remember these are the people who want to regulate social media. These are the old ass politicians that are like, yeah, we're in charge. We'll keep everything straight with Twitter, Facebook, and all the different social media platforms. We got this under control. We fully understand
Facebook.
It. Yes, indeed.
Instagram, Twitter, y'all see this?
Yesterday, the representative Maxine Waters posted on her Twitter account. And remember that I just said she posted on her Twitter account, because here was the tweet. You can take a look at this. It says, I have been hacked and my Twitter account has been erased. I know who has done this. I will take care of this. M. Waters. She posted this to Twitter because her account was still there and had not been erased and had not been hacked.
Were her past tweets erased?
Nope. Nothing was changed at all. Just out of the blue. And my favorite part of it was like, I've been hacked and my Twitter account's been erased. I know who has done this.
Which is often or never the case.
I'm going to take care of it. What are you going to do? Nothing happened. And so she puts this out there and people are like, oh my God, I'm sorry that this happened to you. Now, eventually it started to spin on her.
Now, as far as this hack goes, like, was there stuff tweeted out that had been deleted prior to?
Not that I know, but nothing was.
Huh. Yeah.
She just thought out of nowhere that she had been hacked and her Twitter account had been erased. And it says the account at Rep Maxine Waters is the official Twitter handle for Congresswoman Maxine Waters, the U.S. representative for California's 43rd congressional district. And she posts her updates there. It would be a big deal if she was indeed hacked. It'd be an even bigger deal if she knew the individual and it wasn't some random attack by a hacker halfway across the world. Nothing happened, though. Even Twitter responded at some point. They were like, we monitor all of this stuff. We keep an eye on it. And at no point was the account compromised, erased, hacked, or anything else. And I always look at it, I'm like, these are the folks, this woman who doesn't know how to use Twitter or whether or not her account has been hacked or erased or whatever. She's going to be the one who makes some sort of decision about social media companies and should they see, all of their information about how they operate and their algorithm and be able to change it. And she just doesn't even know how to use it. These are old folks who are leading this country. And when it comes to technology, many of them are way out of their depth.
I think it was the congressional meeting with the Facebook whistleblower, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget the politician, very recognizable man, but he was like, are you going to shut down Finsta?
Oh, yeah, like, I saw this.
No, see, we don't have really anything to do with that. No, but are you Facebook? Are you going to shut down Finsta? Finsta is like a slang term for secret Facebook accounts that kids use. Like, I had never heard of it, but everyone that is in the know.
I thought it was a fake account. I thought that's what that meant. But
either way, it's like Facebook has nothing. It's not a feature on Facebook.
No.
It's a slang term.
No, and he was trying to talk about the plan to do an Instagram for kids, which when I heard that, I thought this sounds like a terrible idea. And he's talking about
truly.
That. But he doesn't know what to call it. He doesn't know what the name of anything is. And yet they'll be wielding power in these situations. We need to get some younger people who can go up to positions of power in this country. And to me, it doesn't even really, I don't even really care what their political leanings are. Just as long as they know how to do stuff.
I don't know. There
better.
Is that really young, what is he, a congressman? What's the...
You're going to have to give me more details.
Who's like the 25-year-old congressman?
The Republican guy?
Yeah, but Madison something.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, one of the new elected officials.
Somebody, one of the big news guys was trolling him because they had a clip of, he was speaking out against like vaccine requirements on airplanes.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, it is our constitutional right to air travel.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the case.
And they're like, who wants to tell? Who wants to tell?
Maxine Waters, for the record, is somebody who was born in 1938. So
Madison Cawthorn, that's his name.
Yes. I could picture him. I know who you're talking about. But she does not know how to use technology very well, would appear from this. So here's the story I teased earlier. So let me just pay this off real quick. So in case you were sitting there with blue balls on the woman who was ripped off and then completely and totally changed her mind, there's a story out today And I don't know if you guys have seen anybody doing this before. I've never actually had anybody at this house try this, I don't believe. But there are people who go around door to door, and they're like solar sales. And what,
I believe I've had a solar salesman at my house before, yeah.
I think it's pretty common. I think it is. And when they go out, they tell you, hey, you know, there's a federal tax credit for solar. And so basically, you can get this for close to free, if not free. And we'll put solar set up on your house. And then you're going to save every single month on your power bill. And they do this. I'm sure there's people listening right now who are like, yep, that's happened to me. Those people have come by my place before. Door-to-door solar sales. I get it. I understand what you're saying. So a local homeowner claims a door-to-door solar sales team burned her for thousands of dollars selling a system that won't save her a dime. Solar panels cover the roof at Billy Ramos' home near Ocoee. She says she was told about the solar company by two women who knocked on her door. Ramos said she was told they're working for the government to help people go green, and when she said free solar, she just didn't say what the free was for. According to Ramos, one of the women told her she qualified for a $15,000 federal tax incentive, so her loan payments would be very, very low. She was also told that the solar system would slash her power bill and she would save money every month. When she got the system, she signed a $42,000 contract.
Damn, that is expensive.
Get ready for whiplash, okay? She says, I feel like I've been totally taken advantage of. How dare they tell me they're a representative of the U.S. government? She later discovered she didn't actually qualify for the tax incentive, and even though her utility bill was reduced, the high loan payments meant her power expenses had increased every single month. So she complained to the manager at Atlantic Key Energy. That was the company, Atlantic Key Energy. He was arrogant, rude. I've never had anybody talk to me like that, Ramos said. They go over Atlantic Key Energy. They say they have four complaints at the Better Business Bureau, rated A+ for responding to people. So she's pissed off. She feels like she got ripped off by these door-to-door salespeople who told her about solar and there's tax incentives. Oh, it's going to be great. We're going to put solar panels on your roof. You're going to be generating your own renewable energy, and it'll save you money on your electric bill. And then they lied to her, right? She feels lied to.
Technically, they didn't lie to her. They said free solar is free.
Right.
Because you don't pay for sunlight.
Yeah, but they neglected to tell her that the bill would be a little bit higher than they were insinuating here. So she's pissed. And she goes to the television station, and she's upset. She complains about this. And Atlantic Key Energy responded when the television station dug into this. And Miss Ramos has since changed her mind about all this. When Atlantic Key Energy was made aware of the situation with Miss Ramos, we promptly resolved it directly with the consumer and the appointed setter involved in, that must be seller, the appointment setter involved with the situation is no longer associated with Atlantic Key Energy or the dealer. Here's what they said, Miss Ramos now says. I am blown away by how kind and prompt AKE has been in handling this situation.
Someone get a discount?
And in taking care of me. I am very happy with my solar, and I would recommend AKE to anybody who would like solar. She has really changed her mind.
Wow.
And you go, what happened here? This company must have been like, don't worry about it. You know,
fine.
We're not charging you anything. Just give us a good quote. And she's like, I love solar.
I love that, my friends, is the beautiful example, mainstream, I guess now, of negotiation.
Oh, I want to know she got. She must have got a lot to 180 on her opinion and go from rip off. They took advantage of me to this is the greatest company in the world.
How
everybody.
Would you like to do it for $42, ma'am?
I bet they did. I bet they like just slashed whatever she owed. Because she totally changed her mind about whether she was upset about this or not and is now saying, I am very happy with my solar. I recommend AKE to anybody. You went to the news media to tell everybody that AKE was a scam and that they're a terrible company and they treated you wrong. And then you came out of it on the other side going, they are thumbs up, superb, really great all around people. And I would recommend this experience.
Well, they must have treated her right.
Can't wait till the new customers get a, a word. It's not word. A lick of. Wait till they hear this story. They're going to try the same thing.
Yes, that's what's going to happen.
What's the word? What's the phrase? When they get a hear of that, wait till the new customers get a.
Catch word of that? Catch wind of that?
Wind.
There it is. We landed on it. They are going to do the same thing. I think some of the people will go, I also paid $46,000 for some solar panels. And I, too, would like a big fat discount to say that I'm really thrilled with the company that set all of this up. So let us know what you think about that. I know people have dealt with this before. C-Lane, you said you definitely have had somebody come to your door and try to do this?
I believe so.
And I actually know people who've worked.
Oh, we do. All three of us do.
Yeah, know somebody who's worked in this industry, and people can make pretty good money doing it, I think. But some people feel like they've been hoodwinked in the process, and some companies are probably better than others, as you can imagine.
And I will say, and I did not necessarily get all the details, but I specifically remember a regular at a bar that I used to go to who had just gotten like that grant,
mm-hmm.
where all that solar stuff worked out what this woman, I believe, had intended to have done. Like, she ended up paying almost nothing,
right,
because of the help from, you know, grants or whatever.
So
is involved in that.
The companies make enough money, I would guess, that
yeah.
they go, we don't want this problem. We'll let this go. We'll get this off of our problem sheet right now. When we come back the next episode with Sabrina, what's coming up on the next episode?
Is that laptop on?
Yeah.
What's coming up on the next episode? Yeezy, a.k.a. Kanye West, be like, I'm going to let you finish, but Wyoming is a little bit too breezy for me. Like sands through the hourglass. That is possessed by an evil spirit. So are the days of our lives. Plus, get that wheel ready, Sean, because I've got a hot take.
All right.
All that and so much more coming up on the next episode.
Stay right where you are. We're back in just a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Something on your mind? Text us at 77031. Standard data and message rates apply. Real Mobile is powered by Orange Buick GMC and orangebuickgmc.com. We are professional grade. Watch the action live on Facebook or YouTube. This is the News Junkie.
The next episode in just a moment. All things happening in the world of entertainment and beyond. We wave goodbye to our friends on Real Radio 92.1 and 101.7. We love you. We appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Don't forget, if you just catch a little bit of the show, you can always hear the whole thing by subscribing to the podcast, which is free. Search for the News Junkie wherever you get your podcast and hit subscribe to get the show every day. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV and you can't possibly keep up with all of it, even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
I had a lot of boys in my life. I love boys. I still do.
Nothing.
Weather's nice.
It's time for the next episode with Sabrina.
Hey.
I stand by it.
All right.
I think it's in a platonic way. You guys are boys and I love you.
All right.
Are you ready for the next episode?
Yeah.
You know who's also a boy that I love?
Who?
As a matter of fact, a man, a genius man when it comes to refinancing or buying a first home or everything in between. That mortgage guy, Don, from homeloansradio.com. He sponsors the next episode. He's also going to sponsor your easy life. But first, you got to go to homeloansradio.com. 58 years ago, 1963, it was about these fellas.
The Beatles.
The Beatles is right, and the term Beatlemania was coined. This was after a big performance at the London Palladium. Palladium, you know, the big old venue there. Sunday, the 13th of October, catapulted them into the intentions of the mainstream. Oh, my God.
The mainstream? Mainstream media.
I say scream because that was the scene of the entire concert. Screaming fans. They, I guess it was like a whole program, a variety of different acts. They were the last one.
Did it say how many people were in the crowd?
In the crowd, no, but watching 15 million.
Jesus, man.
Also, I mean, it was 1963, so it's like three channels,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, not a lot of competition.
They appeared briefly at the beginning of the show. Then the person came over to the PA and was like, if you want to see them again, they'll be back in 42 minutes. And they were, kicked it off with From Me to You, followed by I'll Get You. Most recent hit at the time, She Loves You. And then came the finale. It was my favorite part.
Mm-hmm.
Paul McCartney is trying to talk to the crowd. You can't hear him at all. At all. So then you hear John Lennon go, shut up!
Oh, and they actually shut up?
Yeah. And then they went into Twist and Shout.
I like that flex move.
Also on this day, in 2008, Ringo Starr, Abito himself had told everybody, P.S., I don't love you. Please stop sending me mail. He had posted this on his website at the time. It's the video I sent you to the group chat that was watching on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and whatever platform. He is 68 years old at the time, and he is over it. So he posts this video and basically says, I'm done with your fan mail. After this date, it goes in the trash.
All right, here he is. Want to hear from him?
Yes, please.
This is a serious message to everybody watching my update right now. Peace and love, peace and love.
Right.
I want to tell you, please, after the 20th of October, do not send fan mail to any address.
What a problem to
that
have.
You have. Nothing will be signed after the 20th of October. If that has a date on the envelope, it's going to be tossed. I'm warning
right
you
in
with
the
peace and love,
I'm
but
warning
I have
you
too much to
love.
Do. So no more fan mail. Thank you, thank you. And no objects to be signed. Nothing. Anyway, peace and love, peace and love.
Yeah. Peace and love, peace and love. I'm over it. And good night.
What a problem to have.
Remember back in 1994?
Sure.
I don't. I was four.
I was 13.
But Deidre Hall, her character on this show right here, it's not...
All My Children?
It is not All My Children.
General Hospital.
It is not that as well. It's like The Hourglass.
Days of Our Lives.
Daves of Our Lives.
That'd be great if there was a show called Days of Our Lives. All the dudes were Dave.
This gal in Days of Our Lives, Dr. Marlena Evans, back in 1994, was possessed by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what, folks? It's happening again.
Whoa! Yay.
She's still on the show.
After all those years?
After all these years, after being possessed in 1994, and 20-some-odd years later, she's on the Kelly Clarkson show, and she's explaining that back in the day, the executive producer gave everybody on set, especially during the demonic scenes, a particular gift.
All right.
When we embarked on the storyline, our executive producer and showrunner, Ken Corday, actually sent over holy water and a crucifix and And every time we do a scene
when I'm possessed,
the real deal. I've taken it on stage and offered anybody who would like to have some holy water.
Now, if you look at the clip that I sent you, they started playing the scenes from back in 1994. It is the funniest looking thing. Could you imagine your sweet grandmother watching daytime television and seeing this? Of all the storylines and plots, her being possessed, they are going to bring it back. Should you be a fan of Days of Our Lives, looking forward to the 2021 edition of it.
It's really good special effects. So when she's floating off the bed, like you could basically see the wires, like she's just going up.
See ya.
Still kind of scary though.
I would take, I think, an 18-hour loop of that footage versus what this gal continues to do, and it is drive me crazy.
I know who this is.
Yes, you do.
Ariana Grande?
No, it's not. You say that every time, but it's,
Demi Lovato.
That is correct, Sean. Sorry, not sorry. I'm a huge fan of this song. I love Demi Lovato's voice. She is an extreme talent.
Mm-hmm.
But after the drug thing, I mean, it's just enough, man. When we talked about her earlier this year, she had started this protest movement that, like, they should stop labeling things low-fat at Froyo places because it triggered her from a previous eating disorder.
It did not work out well for her. I remember that.
And now she's starting this new show on Disney Plus or Paramount Plus, and it's all about her encounter that one time with aliens.
Who's giving her these shows? I mean, somebody in a big boardroom is going, hey, this is a good idea.
Well, she said it once. I think it was on, you know, a daytime talk show. And they're like, that's our girl. Anybody else that's had alien experiences, Demi had it one time. And now she's out doing the rounds to promote the Peacock special, Unidentified. And she gets on Ellen DeGeneres. And she says...
Wait, Ellen's still around?
Yeah, she's finishing her last... season.
No, this is the last hurrah.
She goes, hey, listen, I think we have to stop calling them aliens because aliens is a derogatory term for anything.
Oh, God.
And that's why I like to call them ETs. The 29-year-old continues. So, yeah, it's a little tidbit.
ET
a little information is
way more
what
offensive.
I learned. All of this is offensive. The fact that they're making headlines about it, the fact that you think because you saw one orb, whatever you were on at the time.
Got a show, though.
In that case, tomorrow morning, mm-hmm. when we start the show, I want to tell you guys about my alien encounter that I have tonight.
Whoa. Offensive.
Don't I'm sorry. Say alien. E.T. My
Just E.T.
I want to believe that I can have a show if I just make crap up. But Demi, you do you, girl. According to the online etymology dictionary, alien comes from the old French alien and the Latin alienus. Like alienatus. And it means strange and foreign. So whatever you want to do. You do you, bro, bro. Space Launch Live, Shatner in space, 8:30 this morning, so I don't know why they added to my boob tube. Third season premiere of Batwoman, second season finale of Awkwafina and Is Nora from Queens, series premiere of Just Beyond on Disney Plus, and Jimmy Kimmel have Billy Eilish and Zach Galifianakis. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Follow your dreams and me on Instagram at Sabrina Ambra, and stay with me, America.
Smoke weed every day.
Thank you, Sabrina. What the hell is this? Kylie Jenner thing you sent me.
Oh my God.
Why is she covered in blood here?
That's Judge Judy.
She could steal that.
So, sweet Kylie Jenner, she has this new, like, makeup line that's supposed to be Halloween themed.
It says Nightmare on Elm Street.
That is correct. But the nightmare, I guess, for her marketing company is that everyone thinks that it looks like a heavy period.
That's pretty heavy.
They say she posted two naked photos on Instagram in which she's seen covered in blood, sitting in a pool of even more blood. And then some of her 275 million followers.
Must be nice.
Were quick to point out, wait, she has just that little number, like times so many millions in that DJ that just went to space with William Shatner.
Who, DJ Crispy?
DJ Chris
Dr. Crispy.
I'm sorry.
DJ Dr. Crispy.
So she posted it, and now everyone's just having a field day in the comment section. One fan joked in the comments, when you sneeze on your period. Just me on my period. Jenny McCarthy, of course, has to get in on it on TikTok. With one of the photos in the background, she pretended to hand Jenner a tampon, and I thought I had a heavy flow these days. another fan compared the pics to something a little bit even more disturbing, because she's pregnant right now.
Is she?
So someone commented, no. What the hell happened to your baby?
Oh, my God. All right.
So there's that, I guess.
That's the edgy win of the day.
She'll just have to go with the flow.
God, how many makeup lines do the Jenners and the Kardashians have at this point?
Kylie's like, that's the big one, though. That's what made her a billionaire.
God almighty.
Did you guys watch, quote unquote, Kim host SNL?
No, I.
No, it's on the thing.
I saw a little bit of it, and Courtney was watching it, and she said, like, she did better than you would have thought that Kim Kardashian would do.
I thought the monologue was fantastic.
Yeah, she kind of was very.
Didn't she make an OJ joke or something?
Yeah, among others.
There's a lot of family and self deprecation in her monologue, I guess. And you know what? Kudos to her to go out there and do that. That's not easy to do.
No.
That's got to be something that is just really, really nerve wracking.
For people who are not inherently funny that host SNL, usually you can tell when the writers of SNL have done their monologue for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually not delivering a comedy monologue. Usually it's like a bunch of people get on stage, or they do a song and dance number.
Interactive.
They walk through the halls of the SNL and like run into a bunch of people.
There's
like
Bieber.
They lean on everybody else in the cast to you know, have the monologue be interesting or funny. This one was just her on stage throwing out jokes she probably didn't write, but she nailed them.
Good. Yeah. Good for her. I'll do that this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like the reviews seemed to me to be better than anticipated.
With the exception of OJ or Nicole Brown Simpson's sister, who commented and
Did
was
she?
Very offended by the jokes that she made, apparently,
it's
during
been
the
enough
monologue.
Time, all right? You know, we're all watching OJ golf, and the world's changed.
How are his gloves fitting?
There's too much time that's passed for you to be this offended by it at this point. When we come back, we got your dispatches. Also, people are receiving mystery text messages. What's this all about? Are you involved in all of this as well? It could be the case. We'll find out together next. Stay right there. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio. Real Radio. Real Radio.
preparing you
for the impending robot uprising.
This is the News Junkie.
Fritz on the streets. In just a moment, the greatest game in all of radio. Play along with us here in just a moment.
And almost forgot there, Sean.
I know I did. I'll get to the story that I was teasing in just a bit here, but Fritz texts me. Fritz is like, "What? We're not doing Fritz on the Street?" I'm like, "Oh, my God. My week is all thrown around here." Yes, of course we're doing Fritz on the Street. We could not miss that. Fritz, how are you doing over there?
Could be a little better, but the Boston Red Sox kicked the ass out of the Tampa Bay Rays, so they're out.
Man.
But tough I got week. My The Last of Us 2 shirt on, so.
Hell yes.
There you go.
You guys.
Yeah, well.
I've really just, I am so obsessed, can't think about anything else but that game.
The video game?
Yes. You are going to love the series. Mm-hmm. I know you're going to be like, I talked about it before everyone else talked about it. As soon as they announced, they just released the trailer. It is badass.
Okay. Oh, the TV show.
Yes, the HBO picked up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know that Fritz was playing this a long time ago. I remember him talking about it. Sorry about your Tampa Bay loss, man.
That's okay.
That's tough, but let's see if we can all get past this together and jump face first into the competition. Everybody get your brains ready. Let's do this thing. You ready, Fritz?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do Fritz on the Street.
Now it's time for Fritz on the Street.
Hello.
There he is.
Hi, Sean. Hi, C-Lane. Hi, Sabrina.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi, Fritz.
How's everyone?
Good.
Excellent. That's a good start. Fritz on the Street, sponsored by Mo DeWitt. Injured on the go, just call Mo. 866-CALL-MO. In first place with 284 points for Fritz on the Street. That would be Sabrina Ambra. Man, look at those guns.
Thank you.
In second place with 266 points, that would be Christopher Lane. There's finger guns. And in third place with 253 points, Sean Wasson. That's
a thumber there.
No good.
8 questions, 4 current event questions, and 4 general knowledge trivia questions. If you think you know it, chime in for that bonus point. Is everyone
chat down?
Chat down.
I'm ready to go.
Everyone ready?
Yeah.
Sample? What's the market here?
I got 10 people Monday and Tuesday night at St. Andrew's Tavern, and also some phoners because those are always fun.
All right.
Question number one. Last week, a magnitude 5.9 earthquake.
Sabrina. Oh, my gosh. It was there, and it just fluttered away. Huge earthquake in friggin' Mexico?
That is incorrect. Last week, a magnitude 5.9 earthquake killed over 20 people in which country?
Wow, man.
You would have talked about it Monday.
Sean. Pakistan.
That is correct.
Total guess. 100% guess.
Of all the countries.
They have a lot of earthquakes in Pakistan.
Sean, out of 8 answers, how many do you think said Pakistan?
I don't know. 4.
4.
2.
2 for C-Lane.
Number 3.
And 3 for Sabrina. Question number 1, with answers of 2, 3, and 4. Last week, a magnitude 5.9 earthquake killed over 20 people in which country?
South Korea.
China.
India.
Haiti.
The Philippines.
Pakistan.
Nicaragua.
No idea.
That would be one.
Yeah! We went all around the world there, though.
C-Lane, with your guess of 2, you are picking up 1 point.
Thank you, friends.
We move on. You're very welcome. Move on to question 2. In the Earth's atmosphere, what is the most abundant naturally occurring element?
C-Lane. Naturally occurring element.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to unnatural.
Carbon.
That is incorrect. In the Earth's atmosphere, what is the most abundant naturally occurring element or gas?
Sean.
Sean.
Nitrogen?
That is correct.
Yes.
Sean, out of
I knew I couldn't say
ozone.
I
was going to say farts.
Sean, out of 8 answers, how many do you think said nitrogen? How many chemists?
4.
4.
Going with 2 again.
2 for C-Lane.
I will also go with 2.
And 2 for Sabrina. Question number 2, with answers of 2 and 4.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right.
Who's getting it? In the Earth's atmosphere, what is the most abundant naturally occurring element or gas?
Is it nitrogen?
Oxygen.
Nitrogen.
I don't know.
Oxygen.
Hydrogen.
Nitrogen.
That would be four. Yes. Sean is picking up 2 points for being right on the money. And we move on to question three. Which comedian's new Netflix...
Sabrina? Dave Chappelle.
That is correct. Which comedian's new Netflix stand-up special, The Closer, received criticism over transphobic remarks? Sabrina, out of eight answers, how many do you think said Chappelle or Dave Chappelle?
Eight.
Yeah, I'm gonna say seven.
Seven. Crazy. For Sean.
We'll go eight.
And eight for C-Lane. Question three, with answers of seven and eight.
Ding, 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 ding.
Who's getting Which comedian's new Netflix stand-up special, The Closer, received criticism over transphobic remarks?
Dave Chappelle.
One Dave Chappelle.
Nope. Dave Chappelle.
David Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle.
That would be eight.
No!
One person said nope.
I know.
You know, if I had to guess, Dave Chappelle.
I had hope just for a moment, which I very rarely have in this game.
C-Lane and Sabrina each picking up 2 points for their guesses of eight. And Sean, your guess of seven, you're picking up 1 point. Question four is a halfway point in Fritz on the Street, after which I will tell you who is leading on the day. So far, question number four. Cogito ergo sum, quote, I think, therefore I am, unquote, is a Latin phrase attributed to which philosopher?
Sean.
Sean?
Gandhi.
Gandhi is incorrect.
Can you repeat the question?
You know, I can, my man.
I thought he broke at first when he.
I know. Fritz, you know this is not in English, right?
What do you say?
I'm possessed by a devil. Cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am, is a Latin phrase attributed to which philosopher?
Sabrina. Aristotle.
That is incorrect.
Philosopher.
Dig into that bank of philosophers.
If I just keep saying philosophers,
Columbus.
I'm sure one will come to me. I think, therefore, I am Galileo.
That would be Rene Descartes.
Of course!
My next guess.
Of course it was old Descartes.
Sabrina, you got question three right, so we will start with you. Out of eight answers, how many do you think said Descartes?
Boy. Who knows? Because I feel like this is one of those where none of us knew it. Mm-hmm. That means everyone else did. Five.
Five.
One.
For C-Lane.
Two.
And two for Sean. Question four.
F you guys.
With answers of one, two, and five.
Ding, 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 ding,
yeah,
ding.
Baby.
Two-pointer. Cogito ergo sum. Quote, I think, therefore I am, unquote, is a Latin phrase attributed to which philosopher?
Rene Descartes.
Socrates.
Descartes?
Yeah, I was
passing
that one.
I guess I don't know
what it is now.
Hell.
Come on.
Oh, hell. That would be two. Sean is picking up 2 points. C-Lane, with your guess of one, you're picking up 1 point.
Sean's having a good day.
Yeah, so I have a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
Mayhem. This was the first Fritz on the Street in quite some time that you didn't start off with like, I always do bad. I've been doing really bad this year. And now you're winning the game.
I said that right before, didn't I?
No, you did not. I mean, it was too much of a fluster.
You aren't even allowed to accuse me of any sort of wrongdoing in this game.
I'm not accusing you of wrongdoing. I'm accusing you of if you don't talk crap about yourself beforehand, you'll do much better.
No, that's that. I've done it that way too, though, and I still was really, really
okay,
bad.
Okay, kid, God. Let's play the game.
I'm trying to help you out here. You think I'm attacking you, Fritz?
Usually you are.
Number five.
Halfway through the game, after four, in first place with 7 points, that would be Sean Lawson. And second place,
congratulations.
In second place with 4 points, that would be C-Lane. And whoa. Sabrina in third place with 3 points. We move on to question number five. The first in over 50 years.
Sabrina.
Shouldn't
have done that. Shouldn't have done that. Thought for sure is going to say the first old person. First time in over 50 years, Bozo the Clown.
That is incorrect. Good guess. First time in over 50 years, which NASCAR driver became the first black man?
Sean? Bubba Wallace.
That is correct.
Even know anything happened with him. I just would have said Bubba Wallace.
Which NASCAR driver became the first black man to win the Talladega Cup? Sean, you got that right. Out of eight answers, how many do you think said Bubba Wallace?
Jeez.
Four. Six.
C-Lane.
Five.
And five for Sabrina. Question five with answers of four, five, and six.
The first in over 50 years, which NASCAR driver became the first black man to win the Talladega Cup?
No idea.
Oh, Bubba Wallace.
That dude who said the pull chain on his garage door was a noose.
Bubba Wallace.
Oh, I have no idea.
Bubba Wallace.
Brandis.
I don't know.
That would be three.
Damn it.
Sean, with your guess of four, you are picking up 1 point.
I forgot I said four.
Three questions remaining. We move on to question six. Which religious ceremony's name comes from the Greek word, quote, to dip, unquote?
Sabrina.
Sabrina.
Baptism.
That is correct. Sabrina. Woo! Sabrina, out of eight answers, how many do you think said baptism?
Seven.
Seven.
Eight.
Eight for C-Lane.
I'll do six.
And six for Sean. Question six with answers of six, seven, and eight.
Ding, 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 ding.
Two beans.
Which religious ceremony's name comes from the Greek word to dip?
Baptism?
No clue.
Baptize.
Baptism?
Baptism.
Baptism?
Damn it.
Got nothing.
Ah!
That would be six. So Sean is picking up 2 points.
Well done.
And Sabrina,
today is my day.
With your guess of seven, you are picking up 1 point. We move on to question seven. Recently, which U.S. state became the first to ban non-consensual condom removal? Sean?
California.
California is correct. Which state became the first to, the first to ban non-consensual condom removal during sex? Sean, out of eight answers, how many do you think said California?
I think they call it stealthing.
I've never heard of this. Is it the gay thing?
No. It's like if you start wearing a condom and then like in the middle, you're like, oh, you know, you just, all of a sudden it disappeared. And
inside of you.
Yeah, not a good thing. I think five.
Five.
Two.
Two for C-Lane.
Two.
And two for Sabrina. Question seven with answers of two and five.
Recently, which U.S. state became the first to ban non-consensual condom removal during sex?
Didn't even know this.
California.
Texas.
California.
Texas.
California.
What state? Washington.
Nebraska.
California.
That would be four. So Sean's guess of five is netting him 1 point.
Man, it's all coming up Sean today.
We move on to question eight, but before we do, let's see who is winning so far on the day with 13 mighty points. That would be Sean Wasson. In second place with 5 points, that would be Sabrina Ambra. And in third place with 4 points, C-Lane.
I forgot how far behind C-Lane I am. If I could just get close to second place, I would feel better about myself.
Question eight, usually about capitals, so let's stick with it. Taipei is the capital of which country?
C-Lane.
The breathe in.
Taipei. China.
That is incorrect.
Can you
Sabrina.
Read the question?
Yeah, say it one more time, please.
Taipei is the capital of which country?
Sabrina. Guam.
That is incorrect.
Let's see here.
Say Taipei land.
Sean? Taipei is the capital of... Man, I'm going to say
Thailand.
It's not Thailand. That would be too obvious.
No, that's Bangkok.
Yeah.
Duh.
Don't dumb me when you don't know China's
capital. I don't know. I give up on this one.
That would be Taiwan.
Oh, man.
Taipei, Taiwan.
Son of a bitch.
I was actually in my head going, it can't be one that seems too obvious. It's not Thailand and it's not Taiwan.
Sean, you got question seven, right? We will start with you. Out of eight answers, how many do you think said Taipei, Taiwan?
Four.
Four?
Three.
Three for C-Lane.
Five.
And five for Sabrina. Question eight with answers of three, four, and five.
Ding, 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 ding.
Taipei is the capital of which country?
Taiwan.
Son of a bitch.
Taiwan.
No idea.
Philippines. Taiwan.
Tibet.
Indonesia.
Nepal.
That would be three.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
C-Lane is picking up 2 points on that one. Sean, with your guess of four, you are picking up 1 point. And that means winning on the day with 14 points would be Sean Wasson.
Is that the most anybody's ever gotten?
No, 16 is the record.
Oh.
C-Lane is in second place with 6 points, and Sabrina is following that up with 5 points. That means still in first place with 289 points, Sabrina Ambra. In second place, C-Lane with 271 points, and Sean is now 4 points below C-Lane with 267, and that is Fritz on the Street.
Thank you, Fritz! Always a fun ride with Fritz on the Street. I do feel, and now I'm getting a little closer to C-Lane, because for a while I was feeling like that soccer team, you know, where you're losing by 17 goals, and it just feels like you're so far behind, you're never going to pull out of it. I did see, and this is why, everybody, you should be following Fritz on Instagram at no_regrets_coyote, that you're gearing up for Florida Slang.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. I want that album to be out already.
Your album is coming out real soon. Mm-hmm. And
October
22nd. We're not too far away from this. Everybody, make sure you remember to check out Fritz's newest act, Florida Slang. And you've been working hard on this, like always. You're in there in the lab recording all kinds of stuff. And I'm sure everybody's excited to see that. So follow him, no_regrets_coyote on Instagram. If you can't wait, if you just want some Fritz music right this moment, you can go over to anywhere. Even like, I think, is Corvus Incorporated on YouTube too?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I believe so.
You could just go right on YouTube and hear the band that Fritz and Sabrina have together, Corvus Incorporated. Obviously, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all those different places, search for them. And Fritz is a man of many talents, and you should definitely follow him to keep up with those talents over on Instagram at no_regrets_coyote. Sorry about the Tampa Bay loss. I mean, that's brutal.
Hey, they couldn't do it. You know, they couldn't do the job.
What sucks, though?
Maybe they should apologize.
If you're a fan in baseball and your team makes it as far as Fritz's team did with the Rays, it's such a long season.
It is, yeah.
You know?
It's like, okay, whatever. You know, they can't do it. They're out. I get it. They had 100 wins out of 162 games. I'm cool with that.
That's crazy how many games they play. Yeah. Have they ever talked about, like, dialing down the number of baseball games?
I think they have, but it would go against, like, so many records that are already in play. So it's that tradition thing.
Didn't even think about that. Yeah, so it would change people's ability to get the home run record or do all that stuff.
I'd have to move everything to percentages.
Right, yeah, and that would be all complicated. All right, well, Fritz, thank you as always.
Thank you.
We look forward to another Fritz on the Street next week, and this time I'm not going to forget it because you know, my week won't be all thrown off. Not that I'm bitching about taking a day off here and the after effects of it, but we're always excited to play Fritz on the Street, and you should be playing with us each and every week. When we come back, we'll get to that tease about the weird text messages I was talking about. Are you part of this? Is it happening to you right now? I might be able to save you a little bit, and we'll get to more of your dispatches. All of that is coming up next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You know you can always text us.
Unless you're driving.
At 77031. Standard data and message rates apply. Real Mobile is powered by Orange Buick GMC and orangebuickgmc.com. We are professional grade. From... Tackling sensitive subjects with unparalleled irreverence. You're listening to the News Junkie.
You're never gonna get it, I'm a hazard to myself. I'm bringing to you easy, this is hell, this is hell. You're looking at a whisper and you think I'm someone else. This is hell, yes, little hell.
We are back from the dead. A TV channel is ready to make a huge comeback. And I forgot all about this, if I'm honest with you, because it's been a while. It's been a decade that this TV channel has been off the air. And they're saying that G4 is now poised to make a comeback.
That's a throwback.
G4 reminds me of its predecessor, which was Tech TV.
And when they would be on for like an hour and go around with all the technology. My dad loved that show.
I figured that. When I was looking at this story, I was like, I know I watched this and I know C-Lane watched this, but I bet Sabrina's dad had this on.
Love Tech TV.
And it was literally a show where there's a bunch of people. Leo Laporte was one of them. The Screensavers was the name of the
show.
People would call up and they'd go, my computer's not running very fast. And he'd be like, well, you know, check out some of this software and the antivirus. And And it would be like tips, tricks, and how-tos. It was when computers were exploding.
I remember before tech TV was a thing, there was a show that was like a nerdy show called Computer Chronicles. You ever see that?
No, it sounds cheesy, though.
But I watched it. That was the first place I ever heard of Netflix. It was on PBS, and it ran from 1983 to 2002. And it was this like cheap-ass like computer nerd show. But that was the first place I ever heard of, like, where you could download any song you want. And they're like, is
Netflix, or Napster then.
Napster, yeah. Sorry.
Because Netflix reminds me also of my dad, because he was, like, the first to sign on for the three DVDs a week. And he set up his car to have a full-blown movie theater inside of it. And it's just like when he would take us to school, it's like another Netflix DVD has come in. And then every once in a while, all four kids would get it together, and we'd decide on one movie. He would allow us one movie that we could do of the three selections that he has.
Must be nice, man. Cruising in the car, watching DVDs.
So dangerous.
This is the nerdiest thing you've ever admitted to on the show, by the way, C-Lane. The Computer Chronicles.
It's really not.
Look at this.
How much did they...
This is just the slate.
This is so old.
It's okay, C-Lane.
He's already...
You're a hipster.
Here it is. Let's see. I want to watch some of this.
Windows 3.0 is quickly emerging as the standard user interface for the PC. While Microsoft and Apple may be arguing in court over who owns the rights to the
Interface
GUI, it's generally acknowledged that it really all began here at Xerox PARC.
You used to watch this show?
Yeah.
You don't have to feel bad about it.
I don't feel bad about it.
I'm getting a tone that you do.
It's really old school. So this was like, this must have been one of the the first like major computer TV shows.
I mean, Xerox PARC says a lot.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God. This I love looking at all of the office shots when you see the computers they have. And at the time, they'd be like, let's do a shot with the cool state-of-the-art computers over my shoulder.
Yeah, it takes up a whole room.
And when they were really old, it would have that thing when if you put the screen on the camera,
the black line.
Yeah, you would see like that line going up and down.
It reminds me of was it Making a Murderer or some sort of like maybe The Jinx?
Mm-hmm.
But they were showing the footage from back in the day, and then on the screens of all the press is Cool Edit 1.0.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, that's what we use at work. I totally am familiar with that software.
God almighty, this is old stuff. But the G4 is I guess, going to make a comeback, which I feel like is more going to be based around a Twitch channel, because that's what their area of focus seems to be here. They said, since the initial announcement of G4's revival at Comic-Con at home last year, we've been in constant dialogue with our audience through the content we've produced. We made a promise to fans that we would build this network with their input, and are proud to say that promise has been kept. At G4, we never stop playing and can't wait to have our fans join us in our hilarious and fairly preposterous sandbox on November 16th. So it's going to be on like Verizon, Cox, and Xfinity TV, and then a streaming platform called Philo? I don't know this one.
Philo Goes West. Yeah, got it.
Philo is the streaming platform. And then they're going
to... So Cox is streaming.
Yes. I think they mean their cable systems, like Verizon Cable, Cox Cable, and Xfinity TV. And then they're going to have a Twitch channel. So, I mean, that's basically what they're doing. And that's just been something that's been dead for a while. I don't know, though, if that's going to work. Especially if you're going to put people on television playing video games, streaming video games. People watch it in droves, but they watch it on Twitch. They watch it on YouTube.
Philo looks like it would be a competitor to YouTube TV. I wonder how the interface is, because it says live.
See, I still haven't dove into YouTube TV. You have it, right?
Yeah.
Do you, Sean?
No, but C-Line pulls it up when we need live news here. Sometimes it works perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I always get, every single time I go to YouTube, I get, do you want to try a free version? You want to skip the trial and all that? But a lot of people utilize it. I think about a channel like that.
Who skips the trial, by the way? Who's the one that...
I
start paying for it.
I think about like Pluto TV, which is like... Is it Pluto? The one that...
Yeah, that's the free one.
Viacom has, and it really feels like an old school cable system. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of channel I would definitely watch on there. people yeah. playing video games.
The Pluto thing is genius. When people find out that Pluto's this big free thing out there, and they go, all of this stuff I can get for free?
And I can watch, like, OG Teen Moms all day
yeah.
long?
Yeah, there's channels that are just based on marathons of TV shows, and it's totally free. But still, there's a lot of people who I think don't know about that stuff. Let's go to your dispatches from the News Junkie app. Oh, you know what? Since I talked about this, let's pay this off. People all over the state of Florida are getting unsolicited text messages, according to Fox 35 Orlando and our friends over there, asking if they want to sell their homes. I got one of these text messages a year or two ago. Orlando restaurant owner Evan Demov said he's received quite a few. It's very annoying. I receive a lot of these texts. I bet you and chat and other folks who are listening and watching have received these, or at least some of you have received these. And you get this text, and it's like, hey, you know, this is Jessica, and I'm interested in making an offer on your house at blank address on blank street. And more people are getting these. The home that you have won't be for sale, won't be listed. The text just comes from seemingly nowhere. And they promise, oh, we're going to give you such a great deal on the house. And I'm guessing that it happens so that people can try to get you to do the old trick where you send some sort of down payment or something to, like, there's some way that they get your information. Obviously, it's a scam. I mean, this is not like a real offer that's going on here. But if you're getting those text messages, let us know, because they say they're happening all over the state of Florida with increasing veracity. All right, you, let's get to what's going on in your world. And we'll start things off here with Holly Bobali. Here's Holly's dispatch. Excuse me.
Good afternoon. And happy Wednesday, Sean. I am waiting patiently for my shirt.
Oh.
I'm so happy. Get to play Game of Magnets. So, when are they coming? Let us know. Bye.
They arrive on Friday, and Sabrina is packaging this round of shirts and sending them. They should go out next week, and people should start getting them next week, which is plenty of time before Halloween. So everybody should have everything that they need before Halloween, I would think.
That's the plan. But also, that's so sweet of you, sweet dispatcher, that you think that after just a couple days that the shirts would be ready in 48 hours?
Oh, the turnaround's quick, but not that quick, unfortunately.
We're not Amazon.
We're not Jesus.
This isn't like a big Amazon warehouse with people and minions all over the place. That's not, unfortunately, that's not the case.
But speaking of, if you are a minion looking for some extra work, at Sabrina Ambro on any social media.
Let's go over to Barry. Barry has a dispatch for us.
Hey, it's the best friends I never knew I had. Hope everyone's doing good.
Hey.
Hot take Wasson, good stuff over there on the Secret Shows. C Lane, good stuff. Anyways, as we
what
get
about
older,
my stuff,
not too far behind you, Wasson. You know, we kind of lose our you know, what's hip, and then, you know, we get out of touch. So the hot
Speak
take is, let's say, according to your logic, it's been a long time since OJ murdered Nicole Simpson, or allegedly, or he's proven innocent. But it's been so long that we can make jokes. So with that logic, can we apply that to slave jokes? Like,
it
was abolished 150 plus years ago, so we can make slave jokes, right?
Where are you going?
Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop!
He's using it as an example to say I was wrong.
I understand
what I was saying, for the record.
He did go for the, like, extreme example.
Yeah, that's about one of the most extreme you can grab out of the bag if you're going for it. Thanks, Barry. Let's see here. Let's go to Pizza Peisenberg with a dispatch.
Yosky Chodes, quick check-in after listening to Sabrina's segment. Great job, Sabrina.
Thank you.
It was you, Sean, that created the title of yet another show I have zero interest in watching, Chopper Daves of Our Lives. Terrible, terrible show, probably. Very little content, yet it would be highly produced, I can imagine.
Don't do that to poor Chopper Dave. The guy's out there just living his life.
Sweet Austin.
All right, when we come back, we'll get into jury duty, and there's some big news there. We still got to get into this whole controversy over NBA star Kyrie Irving. There's a lot of people talking about that. More uproar at Netflix with some of the employees. Tons of stuff to get into. But leading off jury duty, when we come back, is a teacher that is accused of doing some stuff that is going to blow your mind. I think she's going to be facing some real time behind bars, and the details, well, there. Coming up next, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
What's more exciting than a brand new iPhone with a dozen cameras? How about Real Radio on your iPhone? Just tell Siri to play Real Radio 104.1.
This is
Real Radio 104.1. A safe haven of sorts for all of the 95%ers. This is the News Junkie.
Jury duty in just a moment. You know, one thing that I saw that people were freaking out about, I think the quote was, "Oh my effing God," when they started doing this. There was a huge subreddit, still is, dedicated to this whole Gabby Petito thing. And, you know, everybody thinks they're like a amateur detective and they're going to search and find the information, yada, yada, yada. I guess it serves some sort of purpose in missing persons cases. It's definitely good that it draws attention to missing persons and perhaps, you know, can get a case fired up and ready to go. Oftentimes, you have people who just think they know what they're talking about, but they really don't. And in this case, people started freaking out because the Gabby Petito subreddit started giving out community awards. And like they were saying, when people did the best guess of when her body would be found.
Oh, boy.
Like, you get the Gabby Petito Award for being closest to when the body found.
It gives me the, like, a Deadpool-esque.
Yeah. Yeah, that's dark. That's a weird thing. The case has generated intense interest in yada yada.
Oh, you mean Deathpool?
Deathpool, like the...
I was thinking the comic cartoon. Book character.
No, this is like the... has been many years long where people all over the world bet on what celebrities are going to die that year and then win lots of money.
The case has generated intense interest, and they said last week moderators unveiled the personalized awards dedicated to Petito. The awards included a van captioned "Trippin'," a mountain scene, and an image captioned basically a detective.
Yikes.
And one that closely resembled a well-known picture of Petito, among others. The awards immediately created a furor. A few liked them, but more felt they were tasteless at best and profiteering at worst. Mods deny that this was the case. Not a good idea to do the Gabby Petito Awards. And
no.
They learned that lesson, I think, very, very quickly. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Jury duty brought to you by the one, the only, Moses DeWitt of the DeWitt Law Firm. Friends, if you're in an accident, I need you to remember one thing. All you have to do is call 866-CALL-MO. 866-CALL-MOE. That's the best decision you're going to make. Forget about all these people with all these billboards. The attorneys, they're the biggest and the best out there. They're only saying they're big because they think you want to hear that. But what you really want to hear is that you're not just going to be a number. And you're not just going to be on a spreadsheet as to when they settle your case. And then you're going to have an attorney that knows who you are and knows the deal. And I told you before, I don't know how many times I've heard people say, yeah, I used one of the big law firms. And when I went to court, the person had no idea who I was, didn't know all the details. They were completely unprepared. And that's what you get a lot. With Moses DeWitt, he's going to know the deal. He's going to know what's going on with you, and he's going to fight for you and get you the best result possible. And the insurance companies, you know, he goes up against them all the time. 866-CALL-MO, 866-CALL-MOE. A couple teachers in trouble. You could tell school is back. You could tell things are getting back to normal by this. The teachers are once again in the news. A 41-year-old teacher, she should know better, in South Florida, who allegedly engaged in an inappropriate relationship with an underage former student. That's a weird twist in it. Reportedly told police she is pregnant. Doral police told people that the teacher, Harry Calvi, all right, I hope I'm saying that wrong, H-E-I-R-Y-C-A-L-V-I, Harry Calvi?
Cavi.
Yeah, Harry Calvi. Informed authorities of her pregnancy after being arrested last Thursday. Officials have not said who the child's father is. They say there's a video that allegedly shows the teacher engaging in sexual relations with a 15-year-old who she had taught at John I. Smith K-8 Center in Doral. The student described their relationship as consensual in arrest reports, but they said a child does not have the legal authority to give consent, even though the child may say this is okay. So now they're looking into it, and she could be pregnant with his child, which gives vibes of, oh, what's the famous case where the guy... and
Letourneau.
Yeah, the Letourneau case, where they actually had a baby together. And after he got out of jail, they were in a successful relationship. After she got out of jail, she was in a successful relationship with him for a while. And then I think that ended a handful of years ago.
I think she died.
Did she die?
I believe she died of cancer or something along those lines.
That was a big story when it happened. Mary Kay Letourneau was her name, I think.
Because it was, you know, the first mainstream teacher sex story, especially because they claimed even during trial how in love they were. She is sent to jail for many, many years, and as soon as she gets out, they get married and have a bunch of kids.
Right. She died last year of colon cancer.
Oh, man. Yeah, after several months of treatment, they said that, yeah, they were together for 14 years. That's pretty crazy. You never would bet on that if you were supposed to bet on how long that relationship was going to last. But, yeah, this was sort of the beginning of this onslaught of stories like this. Over in Sydney, another teacher in trouble.
Oy.
A Sydney high school teacher has pleaded guilty to three counts of aggravated sexual intercourse with a 14-year-old. The woman had secret sex parties where she handed teens booze and condoms and even watched while they engaged in sex acts, according to the prosecutor.
I'm a cuck mom.
Shannon O'Connor from California allegedly watched and laughed at a bedroom while a drunk teenage boy mounted and groped a girl who was a friend of the woman's then 15-year-old son. Okay, so this I'm seeing two different things here because they said Sydney, but this is actually, this one says California. The 47-year-old mom kept parties secret from other parents and even her husband while getting 14 and 15-year-old kids so drunk they would vomit, be unable to stand, and fall unconscious. And a lot of kids came forward and they were like, yep, we know about this. We know about these parties. Here's some of the stuff the kids alleged, these teenagers. One 14-year-old girl who spoke about the parties was threatened with retaliation that would include people spreading rumors about her, according to the allegations. At one party, the woman handed a boy a condom and pushed him into a room where a drunk 14-year-old girl was lying on a bed. The girl was afraid and ran and locked herself in a bathroom. At another party, O'Connor escorted a boy into a room with a drunk girl and then left. How weird is this? The girl was allegedly assaulted, according to prosecutors. The girl later confronted O'Connor for leaving her alone in an extremely drunken state. Like, why did you, like, do that, she said. Like, you knew what he was going to do to me. She's in trouble. The 47-year-old is facing a lot of charges, and we'll see what happens with her case. There's also fraud charges with her for some company credit card. Jesus, she's in a world of trouble right now.
There must be something that she's living out or figuring out in herself, you know, that's been tucked away for a while, because there's the teachers having sex with students, and then there's, like, you know, people drinking underage are part right. of some of them, but to throw these parties and she's basically trying to get sexual assaults pulled
yeah.
off.
She's trying to get the kids drunk.
So weird.
And then get the guys to go in the room with the drunk girl and have sex with them. And that,
what's wrong with you?
That's next level weird. That's weirder than just a teacher and a student doing their thing.
And then husband doesn't know a thing,
I guess. Or they said the husband was not part of these parties that she was throwing. All right. And when we come back, we're going to do the greatest story in the world. It's not great today. I'm sorry.
I'll do a half dinger.
It's 0.75 dingers. I mean, that's a good amount of dingers for most radio shows.
Don't put the pressure on it. I mean, sometimes it's okay to have a low dinger, humdinger
yeah.
kind of story.
Can I be honest with you?
What? You don't have one?
I don't even have the story.
I got
I don't
I'm
even
sure
have the
I'm
story.
Get something for you.
Oh, I'll find something during the break that's at least 0.75 humdingers. And chat, you can rip me apart, eviscerate me if I don't get to the 0.75 humdinger.
Somebody already pointed out, and maybe now that we know you don't have one, they were right, that the woman who did a complete 180 on her solar provider.
Yeah.
Could have been the greatest story.
Oh, my God.
How about Cat Sing, Queen-inspired Bohemian Cat-City?
Keep it handy.
All right. I'm not saying that has any humdingers at all.
So I got to get something here. I won't let you down. I will not let you down.
Beatlemania.
This is how this is going to work. There will be nothing better on the dial or on anywhere you're watching us. And this is going to be at least 0.75 humdingers, but hold me to it and hold my feet to the fire. You can judge it as it goes. We'll get into the greatest story in the world next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your emotional support radio station.
We got a raccoon.
Because there's a wait list.
You just can't let it out of its cage.
For animals, Real Radio 104.1. Game of Magnets. 5 years of absolute chaos continues with you. It's the News Junkie.
The greatest story in the world. And man, this one, This one's right down my alley. And I promised you 0.75 humdingers, and damn it, I'm going to deliver those 0.75 humdingers today, or 0.75 humdinger, I should probably say.
Who says right down my alley?
Right up my alley. Right in my alley. Which one is it? Right.
I thought it was right up, down my alley.
It's right up my alley.
Right up my alley, down
my alley.
You
go up and down an alley. I'm on Sean's side.
This thing's in the alley, all right? And it's not afraid to be there. And it's making itself
known.
We'll
find out in just a second whether or not you should have left it in the alley.
We'll see. I think we're all going to enjoy this in all of our alleys, I guess. Let's get into it. Without any further ado, let's do the greatest story in the world.
Hold on, folks, because we're about to do the greatest story in the world.
And the winner of the greatest story in the world today, the entire country of North Korea.
Congratulations, North Korea.
I'm going to read this as Mediaite has laid it out here because I think they put it best. They say, as it often does when it wants attention or respect, the Kingdom of North Korea conducted a grand display of military masturbation yesterday.
Excuse me?
Featuring large missiles, a flyover of fighter jets, and a training exercise by soldiers that can only be described as utterly preposterous. There's a lot to be seen here. And it's all on display. You guys have seen when sometimes countries will do this and be like, let me put on display the raw power of North Korea.
This last time this happened, it was during the Trump administration. And there was a big back and forth, I think, via Twitter at some point. But they had like a big parade to show what North Korea would bring to the U.S.
Did they do it? I don't remember if they did or not. But he definitely was like, yep, we're going to put the tanks on the streets.
And then didn't he have a nickname for Trump? Rocket Boy or something like that.
Rocket Man. Yeah, Rocket Boy, whatever it was. But this video is something else. It's so you've got North Korea trying to show the world, you got to be afraid of us. We're real, genuine badasses here. And
are we badass?
They do this by showing the soldiers like dive bombing like bricks and stuff and like breaking things with their bare hands. And I'm just going to show you some of this. For those of you who are watching, enjoy, and I'll describe it for everybody else. So here we go. This is in North Korea. They got a guy flying through the air, kicking bricks. That guy. I'm going to go back there. That guy smashed with his head. Look, this is how you show how badass your military is. 3, 2, 1.
Because, of course, in combat, is one of the things on the battlefield is the enemy putting up big bricks.
What the heck? That guy went through it like it didn't hurt him? No way, man. That hurt
no.
You ran into a brick with your face.
No, he ran off the side of the camera, and then they tucked him away somewhere.
They said, we've got to get you out of here before you embarrass Kim Jong-un. You don't want to do this right now. Right through it. Boom! He's like, good job. Good job, everybody. So they just did all these stupid little exercises to prove how badass they are. They hit their hands. Oh, my God. All right, and this one, they're hit. Did he just hit it flat on his arm?
Yeah.
They're hitting their arms with hammers to drive their arms.
Like sledgehammers.
Yeah, with sledgehammers to drive their arms. So imagine you go to the fair and you have the big old sledgehammer.
Be there.
You swing that and you hit a person whose arm has their fist straight up in the air, up and down.
Straight
like,
down?
Yeah, they're making like a nail out of it. And they hit that with a sledgehammer to break the bricks below it. And you go.
Oh my God.
It's so stupid.
That would hurt.
It looks so dumb.
Oh,
I mean, they're pretty ripped.
They
though.
Are.
Look at that guy's traps.
This guy's definitely ripped.
Also, I love, what was the process in which you made the cut to break the bricks, take your shirt off for TV? The other guy behind him is like, you couldn't break through the brick during the training, so we'll just have you hold it with your coat on.
These are like their muscle men guys, you know? And they're out there. They do stunts, I guess.
We need to do this.
To scare everybody.
Come on, military.
Insecure Walrus on Twitch says, I used to have a friend who broke bricks for Jesus, touring around schools and doing shows and stuff.
Okay.
He learned he had to preach before he broke the big stack of bricks with his head. It made the sermon much better.
Oh, I've seen this online. It's very interesting.
So these guys are just putting it all on the line for old North Korea. Are this guy's laying down on a bed of nails? It's like a military freak show. Oh! People are clapping. Two swords with a brick on top.
They all clapped like it's a soundboard.
Oh, God almighty. We're going to put this up on See It Now in the News Junkie app since there's so much visual going on here. In fact, Celia, let me send this to you real quick so you can have the link. We'll put this up for all you who are audio only. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why it's good to pop into the show on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. But I want you all to see this. And we're going to put this up on See It Now so you could do exactly that. Because now these two guys, these North Korean muscle men dudes who they're trying to scare us all to bejesus and back with, they have a piece of rebar. And there's one guy, one North Korean soldier on each side of the rebar. And they've put the rebar right in their neck, like on their like windpipe almost. And they're pushing towards each other to bend this piece of metal that they have between them two, the two of them. And they're doing it. I got to tell you, it's fairly impressive. This is at least 0.75 humdinger. Busting out of chains. It's quite the performance.
Now he's going to milk himself.
Oh, these are... Now they're just breaking bottles and...
We don't know it's not sugar. Oh!
The North Korean military is the equivalent of Shorty Dangerously at this point.
It's... Exactly. The North Korean military is what we have hired people to do at the Just Okay Holiday parties.
We should have them. I don't know. Is that...
I say 20 penny circus versus the entire North Korea military as far as this competition goes.
That is a show right there.
Also, I think that this... I don't know. I'd be down for, instead of like wars, that we do Olympic style, where we bring the military people together and we do competitions like this.
Yeah, I would watch this. I'm watching it now and I'm enjoying it.
And then we don't have to kill anybody.
Yeah, we want everybody to stay
alive.
Just
Band-Aids.
If possible. Trevor says, hey, Sean, looks like you got to send him some shirts. They need them. Well, they're shirtless and very proud of it, these guys. Somebody says, fake news. No, this is absolutely and totally real.
Also, this screenshot is like all of these elderly men in military uniform, like, thank God
they don't have to go out there. Yeah, let's see what else they do. Again, this is going up. Celine's putting it up right now in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. Naomi on YouTube says, this is what the military does when there's no war. You don't have enough things to do. So they go, all right, guys, let's go outside. Let's figure out how you can run face first into a brick and survive. It's like a underground wrestling event or something. They're smashing sticks against his head.
All golf claps.
Yeah, they're really thrilled with it, and so is their leader, cheering them on one by one. I got to give it to them. Some of that was very impressive. So there you are. There you have it. See you later. Let me know when you get that up so everybody can check that out.
Working on it.
All right, we'll get it up in just a moment. The blog post that is.
So giggity. No, I am erect.
Don't forget, it's in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. There you go. That's the greatest story in the world.
I will give you, I will vote for two humdingers.
Oh, that's better than I was aiming for there. I thought I'd just be able to get up to 0.75. Very visual.
I was thinking two until the whole rebar thing.
That was too much for you or not impressive?
No.
It went up. It was a feat. It was a feat, and
I won't say up to where, but
I'm very scared of the North Korean military as of right now. And on the tail end of this, let me just show you this guy right here. It's a guy in Florida, and he got in trouble. This particular gentleman, Santiago Victoria, 57 years old, and Santiago Victoria, as you can see in the headline here, it says trail camera caught man's illicit horseplay. And felony charges have been filed for a series of late-night barn incursions. So you can imagine where this is going. Suspecting that he had entered a barn on her property without permission, a woman set up a trail camera, which, by the way, I looked into one time. They're pretty expensive to get these trail cameras. And subsequently recorded a laborer having repeated sexual contact with a horse housed in the structure. This was in Vero Beach, Florida. Homeowner Catherine Engel told police she installed the trail camera inside the four-stall Vero Beach barn where her horses are kept. She discovered ligature marks around one horse's neck. She also recalled finding the bungee cords and ropes around the necks of a miniature horse or the neck of a miniature horse, even though she never placed any on it. And then they said in this video, she caught him inside this small barn of hers. And let's just go to the laptop for 1 second if you can. I know you're doing a lot, C-Lane. But this is the dude that they caught who, I mean, looks like somebody would be doing that with a horse. I'm not going to lie to you.
Mr. Hands 2.0.
Yeah, he looks like, but he's went for the mini horse, which seems, you know, aww, come on. Don't do that. That's ridiculous. The camera cops say caught him entering the barn late at night, invading a stall occupied by a horse named Mariah.
And invading a small horse's stall.
Yeah. During three separate encounters, Victoria gets behind the horse in a sexual manner. Three different times. The affidavit.
Is that something that's notable? And I'm talking to the horse people that listen. You wouldn't know, like, your horse was acting a little bit different, right?
Maybe they do, because we've heard of people getting caught at this more times than I like to admit. There have been stories about this happening.
I feel like the last one we talked about, the guy had like set up a whole scene, like music was playing and candles, and it was right before the act that he spent probably years preparing for.
Make it very romantic, I guess. This guy is done with, though. He's in big trouble now. It says on September 19th, 2021, at 1:49 in the morning, Victoria enters the horse barn a third time. He walks past the other horses, makes his way into Mariah's horse stall for a third time. Victoria is again observed getting behind the horse in a sexual manner, rocking his body back and forth while standing behind it. Victoria walks around the inside of the barn, eventually walking back to Mariah. He's observed behind Mariah, shirtless with his pants completely down to his knees. And, you know, then you see what's going on after that. So this guy has been arrested for what occurred here. Asked how many times he had intercourse, Victoria said he could not remember. And he did not deny it when he said it was three or more times. He said he was aware he didn't have permission to enter the barn. So there you go. That's right on the tail. Did not mean the horse pun, but of the greatest story in the world. When we come back, we'll get into this NBA controversy with Kyrie Irving and what's happening to him. We still got more updates from Netflix and some of the employees there and a bunch more to get to, including one of the dumbest political ideas I've heard of in a very, 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 very long time. That's coming up in just a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
The greatest story is brought to you by Frank Gay Services. When you have a plumbing or electrical problem, you need help now. A live operator waiting for you. A licensed plumber ready to help today and a solution to your problem fast. That's the Frank Gay way. FrankGayServices.com. From the...
You're listening to the News Junkie. Proceed towards your undoing. Just tell me if we can, just for the weekend.
Go somewhere far, go somewhere nice. Yeah. You know, I've been screaming about this at the top of my lungs. And most of you, and at least a good portion of you, have been on board. I've been yelling about the dangers of robots and artificial intelligence and all these other things. I've said it's going to happen. We're seeing it happening right in front of us. And everybody's like, oh, cool. Look at that Boston Dynamics robot dog. It's so fun. Oh, look, it's dancing along to Sugar Pie Honey Bunch or whatever.
It's making a cheeseburger.
They're showing it hanging out with other robot dogs and their buddies. And everybody's just laughing and having a good time. And I'm saying, you're all ridiculous. And
weren't they walking around the park trying to get people to social distance during COVID?
Yeah, they're screaming at people.
I mean, I say during COVID like it's over.
Well, at the beginning. At the beginning of this, they had the robo dogs enforcing mask mandates and people distancing from one another. And I've freaked out on all this stuff, and I have, and I will continue to, because we're sitting there watching all of these companies like Boston Dynamics, which should be firebombed, and they should stop making these robot dogs and other robots immediately, because it's a danger to the future of the world and the human existence on said world. But here we go. I mean, this is just a proof positive moment here. Okay, that I am right about this, that everybody's like, oh, it's not a big deal. There's no big worry. Look at this, Elaine. This is from...
I see the headline already.
The Drive. It says, robot dogs now have assault rifles mounted on their backs.
How many people sent you this story when they saw it?
Nobody did. I just saw this during the break. I just brought this up. It's from a company called SWORD. Look at this robot. That looks a little more frightening to you. It's got a giant gun on the top of the robot.
Looks like a Star Wars.
It does look very Star Wars-esque. It says Ghost Robotics and Sword International have teamed up to create a rifle-toting robot dog called the Special Purpose Unmanned Rifle, or Spur.
A dog, though, that's very big, right?
It's good
size.
Are we
comparing it to Clifford?
I'll show you some more. Here's another shot of it right here. at this event that they do. It's always amazing to me. They have conventions for like military weapons and stuff. And we got a robot dog with a gun. What do you think? You want to buy some of these? Here it is from the front. You can see this robot dog has a big ass gun on top of it. And I want you to hear some of the details here because it's pretty insane, right? Though Ghost Robotics has partnered with another number of companies to explore defense and security applications, among others, yada, yada, yada. This appears to be the first example of one of these unmanned systems. So a robot unmanned system with an actual weapon mounted on it. And they've got some other examples of this happening. The exact configuration of the 6.5-millimeter gun inside the spur module, how much ammunition it contains, and how hard it might be to reload are all unclear. Ghost Robotics has said that spur can be instructed remotely to chamber the first round in an unloaded state, as well as clear the chamber and safe the gun. So the robot can load the gun, can fire the gun, can do all of these different things. And now, I mean, we really have it very clearly just right in front of us. Jason on YouTube says, honestly, guys, that is some serious S. That needs to be canceled ASAP. Yeah, you're seeing it happen. Everybody just sat back. They're like, no big deal. Hold on. Is this a video of this thing in action? Because if it is, I want to see it. Let's see if we can bring this up here. It says Ghost Robotics dogs in action. Oh, these are, I think, some of their other dogs without the gun. So you could see how they're able to move very much like Boston Dynamics. Right. It's not very different at all.
Why don't they put a head on it?
You know what? It looks like a ripoff, if I'm honest, right?
Doesn't it look exactly like it?
This really,
maybe that's the universal best way for a robot dog to
jump the fence.
Yeah, maybe that's the most effective.
No, it's going to move around it because it realizes it'll get hurt.
So this is one of the robo dogs that does not actually have a gun, but these new ones, well, they are loaded up and they're ready to go. And as you can see, it's not some small little gun here. It can be used remotely to go into places that they wouldn't put soldiers. They can use live feeds from onboard video cameras and then shoot whoever they want to. Like, this can't go wrong in 1,000 different ways. And this is just one company doing this.
So we're just, like, gearing up for a, like, giant battle bots.
Yeah.
I'd rather...
Frightening seeming.
U.S. bots fight other bots. And, of course, the biggest concern is when... the robo dogs with guns come through to the towns,
yeah.
But if we could have our robo dogs stop them, or maybe a robo cat, they could chase off the country.
If somebody's going to have robo dogs, we definitely need to be in the game here. But it's frightening as hell, and this is another company, I guess, that makes these things. They like line them all up. I mean, this is dystopian, everybody. It's so weird.
Have you seen the videos online, though? I think it's in like Seattle or Portland. Of the street robots. They don't look like that. They're more on wheels.
More like Bebop robots.
But a lot of people will catch them trying to get on a curb and then just fall over.
Yeah.
There's or just like hit other people.
Some of them seem better adapted than others. But this one with a gun on it, man, my God, that is freaky. And gun people. Okay, somebody right there already saying it. Sam Bowen on YouTube says 6.5-millimeter gun is a quarter inch. So it's like a quarter inch... ammo or whatever that goes into this thing. David says the military is already doing this. Right, but you know, everybody has said so far about robots and AI, it's like, this is not a big deal. These things are just fun. They're just dancing, having fun. And now you're seeing them in public showing you these things that you can buy that are autonomous in some situations and also loaded up with a big ass gun that it could shoot. So now it's a deadly robot that we're looking at. This is maybe one of the dumbest political ideas I have heard in my life.
I'm excited.
Has anybody noticed stuff taking longer to get? Like, it takes a little bit longer to get your stuff on Amazon or...
Yeah.
Some people have, some people haven't. You might have noticed if you go to the grocery store, there's certain things that they don't have in stock.
Definitely
right
seen
now.
That.
There's a lot of this going on. And what it boils down to is it's a major problem. There's a lot of reasons why this is going on, but it's basically a shipping issue. And a lot of the stuff that comes into the United States of America comes through two ports. Those ports are the port in Los Angeles and the port in San Diego. And right now, if you zoomed out and looked at those ports, there are probably shipping containers everywhere on these very, very large ships that can't get in because the port is already full of ships and there's too many trying to get in and they're not able to turn them around fast enough. So sometimes they have to anchor for as much as a week or even more. off the coast of California. That slows down all of your goods. This is the very exact reason. Do you remember the story about how all of a sudden places couldn't get the boba tea stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a shortage on that. That's exactly why. And that's exactly why there's shortages in a lot of other stuff. It comes down to a backlog of shipping. And these huge ships out there, these huge cargo ships, cannot get in. And the White House has been working on this. They're working for the Port of Los Angeles to become a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week operation to relieve these supply chain bottlenecks. This is good news. President Joe Biden planned to discuss the agreement during a speech this week. They say ports in Los Angeles and Long Beach, California account for 40% of all shipping containers entering the U.S. So 40% of all the shipping containers come through those two ports alone, and they're backed up like crazy. The supply chain problem is tightly linked with the broader challenge of inflation confronting Biden. They said as of Monday, there were 62 ships waiting outside these two ports and 81 more waiting to dock and unload. That's a lot of ships and a lot of stuff, and it's caused issues for almost every company out there, and it's bad and could get worse if they don't solve this quickly. So one of these politicians steps up, and in this case, it's Representative Michelle Steele. She is a Republican in Orange County, California, and this literally is the worst idea I've heard all day. She said, "Today I introduced legislation to ban cargo ships off the Orange County coast. Ships anchored for weeks and months off our coast likely caused last week's oil spill. Reports show that the pipe may have been struck several other times by ship anchors off the coast." So she has this piece of legislation she wants to push through, and she wants to say, hey, we can't have ships off the coast of these ports.
Where are they supposed to be?
They would not be able to come in, and that would make what we have going on right now with supply shortages and shipping delays about 10 times worse. Mm. Because these places would say, well, let's just not ship as much to the U.S. It would crater our economy, actually, if this idiot got her way and was able to do this. Because she's like, oh, isn't it gross with all those big ships out there? Plus, what are these dumbass ships? Their anchor, I guess, hit the oil pipeline. We had an oil spill we had to deal with. All you have to do is fix the source problem, which is what, at least to their credit, the Biden administration is doing. They're saying we need to make sure these ports are open all the time. Hell, how about we build some more ports so we can get these ships in and out of there? I think people forget sometimes how much stuff comes by ship into this country. It's a lot of it from China, from Japan, from Korea, from all over the world. They ship this stuff and they bring it in through these two ports. And this woman's like, ah, all these ships waiting to unload. I want them to get the hell out of here because I find it to be a problem. Oh, God. So politicians sometimes just, you look at them and you go, we can trust you to make a bad problem into a much worse problem. Can always rely on you for that. NBA star Kyrie Irving has suffered a major blow because of his anti-vax stance. Now, of course, he says, I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm just up for people being able to own their own bodies and make their own decisions. And the team has said, well, as a result of some of the rules in New York, you're not going to be able to play. So he's not going to be able to play with the team. It says, this is from, I'm trying to see, Michael Jordan has addressed NBA's controversial COVID-19 rules. They said, given the evolving nature, this is the general manager of the Nets, Sean Marks. Given the evolving nature of the situation and after thorough deliberation, we decided Kyrie Irving will not play or practice with the team until he's eligible to be a full participant. He's made a personal choice. We respect his individual right to choose. Currently, his choice restricts his ability to become a full-time member of the team and will not permit any member of our team to participate with part-time availability. So he's the first major NBA player to say, I'm not getting the vaccine, and thus not be able to play because they're in the state of New York. And I don't even think he has the option to do the tests. So, like, I think the most fair thing would be, if you want to mandate this, to leave an option for people to go, I don't want to get the vaccine. Here's my reasoning for not getting the vaccine, but I'll get a test every day.
It's interesting. The last couple of weeks, the emails that I've received from venues that I had tickets for shows back in 2019, mm-hmm. and then just popping up not too long ago, I think earlier today, is that Coachella, I believe, changed their policy in which no vaccines are required, but instead negative test.
Yeah. You have to either have your vaccine card or the negative test is a different option for you. But in his case, they're not letting him do that. They're not letting him test regularly and he's stuck in this position. We'll see if any other NBA players start to stand up. I know most of them are vaccinated, but there's a big portion of them that don't seem into this. You remember them trying to get at the player the other day at that press conference.
Was that the same dude?
I don't know. Don't think so. It's another player that they were really trying to get. Hey, why are you getting the vaccine? Why are you getting the vaccine? When we come back, final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut. And today I learned to wrap everything up for a Wednesday. Stay right where you are. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
He's sort of like Paul Revere, but for the robot uprising. This is the News Junkie.
Final dispatches. Stories that didn't make the cut. And today we're going to wrap everything up for a lovely Wednesday. William Shatner did it. He went to space, and he was up there for like 5 or 6 seconds.
I wonder what he's doing right now.
Probably still angry
still
at the at the people who are partying too loud next to him when he was trying to be emotional, and angry that Jeff Bezos didn't care about what he was saying and instead wanted to pop open a bottle of champagne. He looked so burned up about that. All right, let's get to your final dispatches. Let's see what's going on here. Here is that crazy Jeep guy with a dispatch.
So, new twist on the game of magnets.
All right.
I'm in the work truck. I don't have my magnet. I felt bad stealing the guy in front of me's magnet. So I took it off his back bumper and I put it on his door. To the white Subaru on International Drive.
You just moved it.
What's up, big dog? Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
That's not game of magnets. You're just relocating a magnet.
Oh, it's game of prank magnets.
It's less mean, though. It's certainly nicer, I guess. Here's Michael with the dispatch.
Good afternoon, junkies. Michael P. here. Sabrina, I love you. You're awesome.
Thank
and you're
you.
Funny
you
as heck, and you're just awesome. I love you.
As heck.
C-Lane, Sean, you're all right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I speak for every person on this planet when I say to you lottery people who buy 400 tickets and then scan 400 tickets, meanwhile everybody's waiting on you, we all hate you. Everybody on this planet hates you. You're never going to win because of the karma that you're putting out there, being so inconsiderate, making us all wait for half an hour while you scan all these damn tickets. We hate you. Bent over. Have a great day, guys.
This just happened to him. This is a fresh wound.
I've been there before.
It's tough.
If you're just trying to go in for one thing and you have the person with a stack mm-hmm. of cards that they just want scanned and scanned and scanned, you didn't even do the fun part in which you try to figure out that you lost.
I went on Monday. We took the day off. One of the things I took the opportunity to do is we had some floors done upstairs because that would be incredibly loud during the show, obviously.
Correct.
And outside of the room where they were putting these wood floors, they needed something called this like T-mold. And when we bought the wood floors, they sent us the wrong one, right? So I went into the flooring store, and I'm the only one behind one other guy in line, and I've got this T-mold in my hand that cost $50. The guy in front of me, I'm not exaggerating, had 14 shopping carts. He had 14 of those flat shopping carts stacked high with tile and with like all, and I would go, oh my God. And all the other employees are just kind of looking at me, and I'm going, can anybody else? After about 5 minutes, finally somebody opens up another one. I'm like, oh, that's frustrating, but I'm with
you. That place should have a self-checkout for smaller orders like that.
Yeah, it makes more sense.
Costco has it.
And meanwhile, one of them was on the phone the whole time. I'm like, come on, I know what you're doing. I know what's going on here. All right, let's get to the stories that didn't make the cut. Brought to you by Nations Trucks. Love those folks over there. Still got that Maserati just staring at your face. Somebody's ready for that thing. It'll change your life, and the trucks there certainly will as well. They have the best selection of trucks in the state of Florida, biggest selection of lifted trucks in the state of Florida, and you can find it all right now at nationstrucks.com. Employees of Netflix, specifically they say transgender employees of Netflix, are planning a walkout today.
I think it already happened, didn't it?
Probably happened earlier, I would imagine, and they said that trans lives matter, trans rights matter. As an organization, Netflix has continually failed to show deep care in our mission to entertain the world by repeatedly releasing content that harms the trans community. Yada, yada, blah, 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 on with the same old arguments. And they walked out No, actually, there's a walkout scheduled for October 20th, so that's coming up this time next week. Survival experts say they don't think that Brian Laundrie is alive. One of them in particular says he may be in the belly of a snake, as if giant constrictors or whatever. What are the ones? Pythons? A python got him, is their particular guess. And what else do we have here? Southwest still having some problems as we see the fallout from that whole situation. And we'll leave it right there. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Let's do it. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Wednesday, October 13th, 2021. Today I Learned sponsored by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or a phone call away. Today I Learned this show right here. Not one, not two.
Three Stooges.
Three Stooges. Curly from the Three Stooges saved and rescued more than 5,000 dogs during his lifetime. He used to bring stray dogs home and shelter them until he found a home for them. When the Stooges went on tour, he found at least one stray dog a new home in every town that he visited. So it was a cause very close to old Curly's heart. In 1901, Today I Learned, in 1901, the assassin of President William McKinley was tried, convicted, and executed only 45 days after McKinley's death.
That's, all right. That's quick.
All happened very, very fast. McKinley initially appeared to be recovering, but he took a turn for the worse on September 13th as his wounds got gangrene. He died the next morning. He was succeeded by his vice president, Teddy Roosevelt. You might know that name. Today I learned when sliced bread was first announced back in 1928, it was referred to as the greatest forward step in the baking industry since bread was wrapped. So that was the best thing before that. Wrapping doesn't seem as revolutionary, but, you know, I guess they think it is. And finally, today I learned this song.
Elton John.
Oh, Rocket, yeah. Man.
Rocket Man. That's right. Today I learned Rocket Man. This goes out to you, Mr. Star Trek yourself. And we know you went to space today, but you're not an astronaut, sir. The song Rocket Man was inspired by a short science fiction story called The Illustrated Man. And I didn't care. I just wanted to play this on the way out. So thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're back tomorrow after the Monsters in the Morning. Stay put. The Jim Colbert Show's coming up next. It's followed by A Corporate Time with Tom and Dan, and then Real Laughs. It's all on the way, and it's all right here on Real Radio.